finished with the sewer of this place.
Absolutely correct, sir.
Yes.
I'm a goose stepper. I'm a goose stepper with my blinders on, offering my slime. I'm a goose stepper. I'm a goose stepper. I'm pulling my pants down. I'm a closet gay and a member of the NRA. When I listen to Rush, I get a hard on. A Christian right-wing guy who likes spews squirting in my eye. On a fantasy day, drinks and pour rum. I'm a goose stepper.
That's right.
I'm a goose stepper. Surfing porn online. Whacking all the time. I'm a goose stepper. I'm a goose stepper. Pull my pants down. I think it was great when they killed those kids at Kent State. Anybody protest? Shoot their ass off. I'm almost out of breath as I party in my chiffon dress. Hacking at it drug and John Ashcroft. I'm a goose stepper. That's right, son, I'm a goose stepper. I follow blind. I'm a goose stepper. That's right, old son, I'm a goose stepper. Pull my pants down. I'm swelling with pride for my country. We're a conqueror now. That'll show them fat, Jew, queer, communist, central liberals. Hack America, baby! No, no, y'all. My balls. My balls now. Yeah.
903-560-WQM. Happy Thursday to you. Yesterday we started with a story about a severed head on the show. So I think we might start every day with a story about a severed head.
If we can.
Man slices off head in supermarket suicide.
Oh!
Johannesburg. A South African man has died trying to cut off his own head with a butcher's bandsaw in a major supermarket, police say. Superintendent Jay Naker said the ShopRite Checkers store in Richards Bay had been ready to close on Monday when a man wandered in headed for the meat department. He just walked in, went to the bandsaw machine, and switched it on, Naker told Reuters. Apparently he knew what he was doing. He put his neck to the blade and cut it about halfway through before he fell to the floor. Naker said the man later identified as 31-year-old Emmanuel Gumby was pronounced dead at the scene. He said police had turned up no motive for the suicide, which stunned staff and shoppers at the store in northern KwaZulu-Natal province. How do you like that? Suicide by rotor blade. Huh? Bandsaw machine. That's a novel way of doing it. We give them high marks for that, okay, for originality.
Right. Well, they're made for cutting meat.
Speaking of high marks for originality, there was a note in the Boca Brian package yesterday. And he makes an excellent point. He says, have you ever noticed Greg Reed walks through the door like Loretta Young? And I'd never really quite thought of it in those terms before. But now that you mention it, Boca, you're absolutely correct.
Absolutely correct, sir.
Although she certainly had a much better hairdo. Is she still alive, Loretta Young? We're back in one of those deals again.
Don't know.
I have no idea. I don't think so. Like I said, I have no idea. So why do I say I don't think so when I don't know? Good movie, Gattaca, with Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman and Gore Vidal. And who else was in it?
Jude Law.
He's good. Pretty good. I'd give it about an 8 on a scale of 10. You don't agree?
I give it about a 7. Because you're talking about endings, then it's another one of those. I was enjoying it.
I'm not talking
it.
About endings yet. I haven't
right.
gotten to that.
But you will. And that's that was my problem with that. It was good all the way along until in the end was kind of like, eh.
Well, what did you want to happen? You wanted
to
blow up the spaceship to blow up?
Yeah, sure, some explosions or something. I don't know. I don't know. It was just a little flat for me.
No. Oh, and people, all you desperados out there, all you queens, and ladies out there that were all whipped up into a frenzy about seeing Tom Welling's ass on Smallville two episodes ago, and all you saw was like a little flash of a cheek. It might not even have been his. In this movie, Ethan Hawke is like naked about half of the movie, I would say. Not that we see any frontal nudity, but and not that I really cared about that, because as much as I like Ethan Hawke, you know, what's the big deal with that? But I just mentioned that in passing. I thought it was pretty good. I give it an 8. So that was my movie of the day yesterday. I can't, these two-a-days, it's just too much to absorb all at the same time. Here's our poll from yesterday. Who are the most pathetic creatures? Big fat slobs. See, this goes to show you the lack of compassion.
Yeah.
What are you laughing about?
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with it. But it's a lack of compassion on the part of the... And the ones who vote for this, of course, are the ones who are not the big fat slobs.
Correct.
When I say big fat slob, I could be included in that category, but I generally think of people who are much bigger and fatter than I am.
Right. You're a piker. You used to be.
I mean, I'm a fat slob, but not a big fat slob like I used to be.
We saw
different
those pictures.
Mm-hmm. But we have so many big fat slobs. And what I started to say is that they're victims of this disease. The fat is a disease. There's no mistake about it. And you doctors, man, you doctors, not only all over the world, have failed the public. You've failed miserably because they haven't got any idea about anything to do with diet and nutrition. And that's why people like Bob Atkins, rest in peace, and a few other doctors and people who aren't even real doctors. That's why they wrote a bunch of books and made millions of dollars, because everybody and their brother is desperate. We're desperate. We really want to look beautiful and to just like Ethan Hawke naked, you know, but it ain't going to happen. And then, of course, we have people on the other side like Toady Fields and Shirley Tweeters. Oh, fat is beautiful. How's Toady feeling? Anybody seen her lately?
No.
No. Shirley Tweeters, that was her thing. Oh, fat is beautiful. Part of that whole, oh, God, that real sick, twisted thing. Big Fat Slobs, 225 votes. Sports Talk Groupies, 213. Log Cabin Republicans, 212, right on their ass. Log Cabin Republicans, we didn't put on there till much later. And, of course, that was Eric's fault. That's what Carlos said. Remember, I said that, and I kept looking on there, what the hell is it? If we'd have had that on the beginning, that would have won. Self-hating faggots. In fact, if I would have had that on in the beginning, that would have been my vote. I voted for people who, what did I vote for? I don't know. I guess Sports Talk Groupies. Oh, no, I voted for Talk Show Chronics. Big Fat Slobs, 225. Sports Talk Groupies, 213. Log Cabin Republicans, 212. People Who Watch Golf, 164. Talk Show Chronics, 152. Autograph Hounds, 147. The PETA people, the ones who want them to change the name of the city in Hamburg, New York.
PETA.
Yeah, those people, 114. I mean, I'm an animal lover. Oh, and by the way, speaking of animal lovers, thanks to my close personal friend, Mo. And you better adopt a different attitude, mister.
What?
They had the QAM ratings party last night.
Yeah.
And you didn't even bond with Mo. Mo has agreed, out of the generosity of his heart, mainly because he likes the charity, I think, Abandoned Pet Rescue. He's a dog person. It can't be all bad, in spite of what you say, in spite of these grotesque things that you said. You know, back last year when he wanted them to fire your ass, if I would have just been a little bit more, you know, if you wouldn't have had that other kid on the way. Can you, Carlos, can you imagine the great rapport we could have with Mo at this point?
Not only that, but I could be sitting in the other room.
There you go, making some really big money like George.
Take off those checkered pants.
Right, but anyway, Mo has agreed to let us make a Mo keychain. With some drop-ins. That's one of my favorites, that one right there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, certainly on a keychain will be...
Doi, 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 doi.
And some others. Six or seven other great ones. So thanks, Mo. Goes to show you. And like I said, you better lighten up a couple of notches, okay? Because we're going to have to coexist here for a while.
All right.
You have to be a little more enthusiastic than that, mister. Oh! So we'll have the best of, which will cover 2 years, which you better start working on that right now.
Uh-huh.
And then Muff, you know, Muff, well, take your time. You know, Muff, I'm going to tell you something. If the whole world was as lazy as you are, get off your duff, okay? Once in your life, get off your duff and quit this crap about, well, you know, there's no big hurry. You guys got a show to do. Duff.
Get off your duff.
Right. Get with it. I can't stand these dawdlers who just can't get around to doing anything. You know, the people that fly real low under the radar and are afraid that somebody might notice that they're taking a paycheck. Get with it, Muff. Freepers 55, Jeepers Creepers, we really hate those freepers. If you don't know what freepers are, they're assholes. They're people that professionally go from pole to pole. They alert each other like on Newsmax.com. They alert each other. Oh, you better freep this pole. In other words, load up the pole with our viewpoint, whatever you're, you know, and distort the outcome of the pole. Now, I'm sure that there must be liberal freepers, too.
There must be.
But I don't see that much of them. But, boy, the right-wingers, they're psychotic. Any poll having to do with Bush, with gun control, forget about it. I mean, oh, brother. They just go apeshit. They start alerting each other, and they start getting the messages on their websites, and they're running around this poll and clicking it on and voting 80 billion times. Freepers 55, Computer Nerds 24, and People Who Play Golf 16. That was yesterday's poll. And since we've been movie intensive all week, I thought, well, why not do another movie intensive poll this week, right? I mean, today.
Sure.
This is a tough one, though. We're having a tough time coming up with it. I've got three on there is all we got so far.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have other ones?
I did, but I wanted to let people name some stuff that maybe somebody else had heard of.
Oh, and this business, this Steve Kane business, I'm going to tell you, you people at the Herald and the Sun Sentinel, first of all, the story is switching every 5 minutes. Oh, he's off of that diversity committee. First of all, that diversity committee, as one guy was quoted as saying, hasn't done a goddamn thing since they invented it. Number two, it's a farce. They got little Brian Craig on there. I'm surprised they don't have Nick Lawrence on there as well. Steve and his little entourage and his buddy Marty Rubenstein, who he shilled for around a year on his talk show. And nobody listened to that show anyway. But at least he's getting some great publicity, which is what he's all about anyway. See, the one thing about the South Florida media, the bigger a publicity hound you are, the more publicity they'll give you. It was the same with Bob Kunst. It's the same with Mr. Ego. It didn't make any difference how wacko you are, how predictable you are. And here's a guy who you could fit his whole audience into a phone booth at Cemetery Village, which is about the right demographic. And they're just pages and pages about, well, he used the N-word in that debate with Michael Mayo, and now he can't be, well, guess what? They don't know if they can fire him from the diversity board. Who gives a crap? But in the meantime, the story about the Broward County Commission passing that resolution, condemning the Patriot Act, and guaranteeing the freedoms of the people of Broward, that still has got not one more word on either a newspaper. In fact, never did get one word in the Herald that I know of. And the Sun Sentinel sticks it on there at 11:59 on Tuesday night to make sure that it was on there for like 1 minute until they switched over to the next day so they could bury it. Who are you? Who do you people think you're kidding, huh? Anybody with an IQ big enough to read a newspaper knows that they're getting nothing but swilling propaganda from the South Florida rags. 9:13 at 560 WQM. Mother's Day is this Sunday, and the folks at Vermont Teddy Bear have been busy hand-making some really great new bears for you. Your mom, wife, and grandma deserve something extra special this year. Show them how much you appreciate them by sending an authentic Vermont teddy bear. She'll receive a beautiful bear personalized just for her and delivered with a free card and gourmet candy and a colorful gift box. They got great bears like the Spama Bear, Mom's Biggest Fan Bear, or the new Queen for a Day Bear. And who wouldn't want to be queen for at least a day anyway? Dads, it's your job to get a gift from the kids every year, and the Mother and Cub set is perfect. Add as many cubs as you need with the names embroidered right on the little outfits. This is a hell of a lot more creative and thoughtful than sending flowers, which are dead in no time at all, and these great little bears will last a lifetime. So call today, 1-800-829-BEAR, and a friendly bear counselor will help you tailor a bear just for Ma, so she'll know you put some real thought into your gift. You won't believe the reaction you'll get. Ordering is quick. It's easy. Call toll-free today, and be sure and tell them that old Neil told you to call 1-800-829-BEAR, or shop online if you like at VermontTeddyBear.com. This year, thank Mom for all she does for you with a Vermont Teddy Bear. 1-800-829-BEAR.
Live and local. This is Sports Radio 560. QAQAM.
A big
O!
Oh! Oh! Don't make me angry. Oh! Look what I got in my hand. Oh! My baby's upside down. Look out below. Oh! If my baby falls, oh! Will you buy more of my records? Would this help at all? Oh, to sell more of my records? My face is eroding. Concert ticket sales are down. I'll drop this baby on the ground to sell records. Oh, no. I'm losing my grip. The baby dangles around as I hold it out the window. I can still draw a crowd. Dangling the baby out the window. Oh, I'm a pedophile, as you know.
Yes.
And And I might just let it go, 'cause it's way too young to scroll by my records. Look, it's dangling. Woo-hoo! My records, all my CDs, or I'll drop this baby right on your head. Woo-hoo!
Go ahead, drop it. We don't care. 918 at 560 WQAM. Here's the poll today. Which movie had the best or most shocking ending? See, any movie can be good through the entire movie, but if the ending is bad, then it kind of sours the experience, and you wonder, what did I just waste like an hour and 45 minutes or 2 hours watching, you know, if the ending sucks?
Right.
And we've only got three on the list. Happiness, if they can beat that one. Of course, I don't know how many people have seen that. Happiness, right. The ending is just... pee in the pants inducing. The Hitcher, which again, I don't think that many people have seen that movie, but the ending is pretty bizarre. Mm-hmm. And A Boy and His Dog, which the ending is pretty sweet, if you ask me. Here's a lady in Miami. Hello.
Hi, Neil. I called you before you asked that specific question, but I've got two really bad lemon movies recent out. Road to Perdition, I thought was like a Disneyland version of The Godfather. And Sightings was so insulting to the intelligence with those guys in the rubber suits looking like aliens.
Yeah.
It was laughable. On the other flip coin, I saw a great movie last night, American History X. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, my God.
Good movie.
With
very
Ed
good.
Norton, yeah. And
Is that a new movie?
Yeah. I think it's new, yeah.
Not that new. A couple, 3 years at least.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh well, listen. I'm not making any more of a list because I mean I got them piled up to the ceiling in my living room to watch now.
Well, it's so politically incorrect. I love it about race relations.
Right.
And of course, at the end, it redeems itself and has to be politically correct. But there's a point to what they're saying. You know what?
Okay.
Death in Venice. You have to see that. You have to see that again. With Dirk Bogarde.
What is it?
Death in Venice.
Oh, Death in Venice. No, I would never watch that again. That's the most depressing, the most more... Why do I have to see that again?
Well, if you can watch Requiem
God.
For a Dream, you can watch that.
Just
again.
Grab the kid and kiss him on the cheek or something or stick your tongue down his throat,
right.
But we have to go through like 2 hours of excruciating pain while Dirk Bogarde is chasing this little scrawny queenie kid in this through the
right.
streets of Venice, and then come to find out the kid's got a boyfriend already anyhow, and they're on the end he just dies there on the beach. He's watching
him.
Beach,
yeah. He was gay in real life, Dirk Bogarde.
Believe me, he could have done better than that piece of crap.
Right.
That was one of the most depressing movies. If somebody's out there ready to commit suicide, ready to put their head on a rotor blade, then they definitely want to watch this first.
They got to see that back-to-back to Requiem with a Dream.
There you go. Have a great day.
Okay.
See ya. Here's a fax that says, have you ever seen Death in Venice?
No.
Don't.
Okay.
Oh. I mean, just morbid and depressing and make you want to either kill somebody else or blow your brains out. Here's a fax from somebody in Fort Lauderdale. It says, yesterday I turned the radio on in my car around 5:15 p.m., and guess who's gibbering and jabbering away on 9:40? Dennis the Catholic, ranting and raving about his favorite topic, Neil Rogers. On 9:40... Sports?
Yes.
What does that mean? He's asking why QM gets a pass when Neil calls women bitches, Hispanic spicks, and blacks niggers, which I don't. And I call them Schwarzers, okay? I don't call black people niggers. You got the wrong talk host, Dennis. And the Miami Hurricanes, the Hurricanes. Then this morning I turn on Mo and Gildy, and then that asshole Dennis is on again trying to make a correlation between what it would be like if we could bring Hitler on the radio, because there's no difference between Neil's humor and how the drones who listen to radio probably would think Hitler's stuff was funny. Right. Oh, my God. Get some help, Dennis. Get you some help. You must be. You notice how every now and then there'll be like a little lull with these people, and then they come back with a frenzy, so they're, you know, they're having a bad week. Maybe he got upset because we had those stories about the altar boys and the priest again this week. Maybe that set him off once again. Can't handle the truth, can you, Dennis?
No.
Idiot. Anyway, the hot couples contest is starting to pick up a little bit. We got about 10 now?
About.
And that last one there with the skin-headed guy and his lady?
Mm-hmm.
I think that one might be a contender.
Indeed.
Anyway, I don't want to pick like one or start like influencing, because
right.
the people have from next Thursday. Next Thursday is the deadline to get in your pictures, the hot couple contest. Just go to our website and email us a picture of yourselves, and you got till Thursday, May 15th, a week from today, and put the pictures. And then next Thursday, we'll put them on the website, and the audience can vote who's the hottest couple. And Thursday, May 22nd, the couple with the most votes wins. wins a three-day, two-night stay for two at the Royal Oasis Resort and Casino in the Bahamas with round-trip airfare on Lake Arrear, and the runner gets a dinner for two at the Pizza Loft. And maybe can yank on the Jeff's ponytail, even though it's not. Who knows, maybe hung it on the wall. And we'll be doing this each month for 3 months. May, June, and Julio is what we're going to be doing. What movie had the best or the most shocking ending? Happiness, The Hitcher, or Boy and His Dog? And then we'll add to the list. We're going to build it. You got it, Carlos?
We got it.
Got it.
Because I realize there's a lot of stress and pressure on these pulls when we build it.
Nah.
Join, well, at least in Orlando there is. Join Joe Costello noon to two today at the Singular Wireless Store located at 6311 North Andrews Avenue in Cypress Creek. Stop by and get your free Marlins tickets to tonight's game. Any interest?
No.
And register to win a trip for two to the Major League Baseball Midseason Classic and a Skybox party at the Pro Player PPA Park. Okay, all of these things. They just don't get the hint, do they? Nobody cares. Oh, and speaking of nobody cares, how about that Minnesota Wild, huh?
Oh!
Just pounding Vancouver again last night, 5-1. I loved it. Nobody cares about hockey. The ratings, not only in the U.S. on ABC, but the CBC ratings are way, way down. The National Hockey League is in big trouble. The Humper can say, I told you so, but he don't even know the reasons why. But they're in big trouble. Deep doo-doo. Nice going, Gary Bettman, you idiot. Here's a call from Miami. Hello.
Good morning, my pedophile.
Beauty. 567-0560. Maybe that was Dennis's boyfriend, you think?
He has a wife,
or his priest. Here's Boca. Hello.
Hey, Neil. How you doing?
Okay, sir.
You know your the sound drop you got, the oi, that was cut
Reverend
off?
Jones.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. No, yeah. It's not. I
yeah,
was wondering if you could, you know, on the doi, if you could cut out.
No, we can't. 567-0560, what movie had the best or the most shocking ending of all time? That's our poll question today, and we invite you to add to it. If you want to call and make guttural sounds, do it on some other show, okay? Do it on Mr. Ego Show. He needs your calls. He needs the publicity. Here's a call from Lake Worth. Hello.
Hey, Neil. How you doing?
Okay, sir.
Great topic. I love movies with good endings.
There aren't too many of them, though.
Twist. What's that?
I said there really aren't that many. Well, maybe there are, but we just can't think of a whole bunch of them.
Well, I got a few that I like. I don't know if you'd like them or
not. Well,
like
see, but wait a minute. See, let me read you the question again, because when you say you've got a few,
right.
That's a problem for me, because... Not what 20 movies had the best endings. What movie had the best or most shocking ending of all time?
Okay. Then I would go with Fight Club.
What is it? Fight Club?
Yeah.
Oh.
That would be my one of any.
Okay, thanks. Fight Club with Brad Pitt. I didn't see it. I wouldn't buy it. I saw what it was all about and the premise to me seemed. But maybe the ending was great.
Don't bother.
The ending was interesting.
The ending was what ruined it for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's see. WIOD News reported about Broward County Commission voting on the Patriot Act. Also, we're holding a poll on whether or not we agree with the act, says Barbara. Sorry, can't call it work, says Barbara. Thank you. Thanks, Barbara. Here, see, again, they're sending us lists.
Yeah.
I don't want
yeah.
a list. I don't want... This is what screws up our effort to do these things, is because we're asking... I know it's not easy always to pick one, okay? Right?
Right.
Like the poll yesterday was difficult, which is why there were about four or five categories that were like a nip and tuck and side by each. The usual suspects, I put that on there. We got two people already said usual suspects. It says, without question. Now, what was that movie?
That was the Kevin Spacey... a whole bunch of gangs. It qualifies. It certainly
Definitely.
Qualifies.
I'm trying to think if I've seen that.
Probably not.
You would know.
You would have talked about it. Benicio
Why is
Del
that?
Toro's in it. Because it's memorable. It was a good movie.
Okay. Because somebody here's got like a half a dozen. What's the point? What is the point, you silly people out there?
See how many movies I can name.
Yeah.
Is
in fact,
yeah?
I'll tell you what. I'll do better than that. I'll just get this 800-page book I got
there
laying on the floor that weighs 40 pounds,
right.
My timeout book, and mm-hmm. I'll just go from aardvark to a zebra, you know, from A to Z.
Just tear the pages out and feed them into the fax machine.
Narrow it down to one, okay? That's the idea. Which one had the best, the most dramatic, the most bizarre, the wildest ending of all time? Usual suspects, we added to it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
927 at 560 WQM, you know, talk is cheap. It's easy to throw around a lot of really appealing low numbers, but when it comes right down to it, what can you really get refinanced at? 5%, 4%? How about 2.45% with Financial Group? With interest rates of 2.45%, it really is your best bet, and it's rock solid, too. Call Financial Group right now, toll-free at 1-800-940-LEND. Interest rates are at all-time low, so why not refinance your home or buy a new home and take advantage of a sure thing, incredibly low rate. 2.45% with Financial Group, and will get you amazingly low payments every month. For example, if you have a $200,000 loan, you pay only $786 a month. If you have a $100,000 loan, you pay only $393 a month. So get yourself 2.45% financing from the Financial Group. Call them at 1-800-940-LEND. That's Financial Group, 1-800-940-LEND. They're an equal housing lender. Credit restrictions apply and rates are subject to change monthly. 5.34 APR.
Live and local. This is 560.
The radio's all yours, Tom.
QAM.
A lollipop, little boy?
No!
The dome must go. No war, says Cheryl Crow. Some Iraqis will die, so we better not go. Shut up, you fish, cause Baghdad will blow. Cheryl Crow is a stupid bitch. She's a burned up big mouth. Cheryl Crow is a worn out heart.
Uh-huh.
Just shut your damn pie hole. Cheryl Crow is a whining hoe. Just a middle-aged loser.
Somebody choke her. 931, I already voted, even though we aren't taking votes yet on the poll. After we get the first dozen or so up, we can put it up. You got it, Beaner Boy?
Got it.
I don't want to get into another big thing in between you guys because you get so emotional about the poll. You know, it's just for fun. It's not the end of the world, although on this show it's pretty goddamn important. Somebody else here with a list of a bunch of them puts the usual suspects. I'm not going to put a pie. The ending of Pi is the greatest, it's bizarre, all right. Well, I don't know, it is bizarre. I guess I'll put it on there, Pi. Of course, the problem with this poll is we can't tell you what it is, otherwise you'll never go see the movie. We'll spoil it for everybody.
We can't, right.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, you can give us, just in general terms, but, I mean, don't give away the ending unless you want everybody to make sure they don't watch it. Happiness already got my vote. There's no way that any movie ever made before, since, or in the future will. It just ain't going to happen. There couldn't possibly be a more hysterical, a more amazing ending than the ending in Happiness. Here's a call from Kendall. Hello.
Neil, good morning.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. Good to hear that. How are things out north of the border?
They're fine. Sorry,
good.
Free.
Listen, I want to let you know I'm a long-time listener. I love your show. I love the guys who work on your show. Great use of time and entertaining at all. I want to add my 2 cents to the movie list.
Mm-hmm.
American Beauty.
Okay.
I think it's got a great ending to it.
Either of you guys see that?
Yeah, again, I'm sorry.
I'm asking George and Beaner Boy if they either one.
No.
And?
Sure, why not?
Thanks, Beaner. Appreciate that.
No, that was
That's
George.
The other Beaner.
That's
Love
the other
it.
Beaner. Yeah. Have a great day, pal.
Thank you.
I got it. I'm putting it down. I mean, this lukewarm. You know, see, I'm not asking anymore. I mean, what's the point?
What? I can't be all excited about it. It had a decent ending. It wasn't like great, like a Boy and His Dog.
Well, no, but that's the one you picked was A Boy and His Dog. I picked Happiness. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they can't. If everybody's going to agree with you, what do we take the polls for?
To see how much they agree with me.
I see. Okay, I want the audience to understand that the reason we take the poll on our website every day is to see how much the audience agrees with George. I never, up until this moment, and thanks to my good friend Mark Morgan for that nice intro. That was great.
Courtesy of Miguel.
A little surprise. Oh, Miguel. Keep him at an arm's length, okay, to Miguel. And again, here's another list. I don't want lists. I want one. I want one. This gets really ponderous. I hate when they do this because it tells me that they don't understand the question. Do they get it?
No.
Do they understand it?
No.
The best plot twister ever in film history has to be the ending of Psycho. What? Now, I mentioned that to you this morning that I thought, because I was telling you about Hitchcock movies, as good as all of them were, or most of them were, the endings were generally pretty corny.
Right.
Like in Rear Window and North by Northwest. And it was always, in the end, Cary Grant marries Eva Marie Saint, and they walk off into the sunset, or it's Grace Kelly and James Stewart, and everything is okay.
Even
and
like,
they get to
like The Birds, I thought, what the hell is that? They're just you know, driving away.
Now, what was the movie where, oh, damn it, I just saw it again here a couple months ago. We talked about it, where they were in the cave and there were sunspots and almost everybody on the planet died. What's his name was in it from Mission Impossible, Peter Graves. You never saw that movie?
I'm thinking. I've seen practically every movie like that.
Where he and his family were in a cave hunting, exploring, whatever they were doing when they came out. It was like there had been all this gigantic turbulence on the sun and whatever.
Right, I know, not the quiet Earth or something like that.
No, not even close. The World According to GARP, says somebody. I'll just put them down, okay?
Yeah, whatever.
You saw that?
Yeah. Don't remember anything spectacular about the ending, but hey, who the hell am I?
Exactly. That's what a lot of people are thinking. Who the hell are you? No Way Out with Kevin Costner and Sean Young. The military good guy turns out to be, oops, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It says, great movie despite the cast. Yeah, I don't like Kevin Costner at all, but it says No Way Out. Okay?
Okay.
Or we could ruin it and give the endings. Now, what's this one? Psycho? I'm not putting Psycho on there. The ending in Psycho is he's sitting in a jail cell and the fly is buzzing around and he would never hurt a fly.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Perkins. And then, and right there is when he reached over and tried to open up Tab Hunter's fly. Huh? And then that would have been a better ending than the one they had in the movie. That would have been at least a little bit exciting, you know? Plus, it says if you ever get a chance, you need to see the following movies, The Insider, Being John Malkovich, and Trainspotting.
I like two of those, but I don't think you will.
Which two?
Trainspotting I thought was great. And Being John Malkovich was interesting, but I'm not sure if you'll... Trainspotting more likely that you'll
like.
Says
in the same vein as Requiem for a Dream. Anybody see Requiem for a Dream since we talked about it?
No.
Anybody see Happiness?
No.
No, probably not.
Trainspotting doesn't get up there.
Huh?
Trainspotting is not as good as Requiem for a Dream.
I really doubt it. I can't imagine any... Although I will say, if I had to separate between Happiness and Requiem for a Dream, I'd have a tough time doing it.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, you've got to get Happiness. It's got all, just like Requiem for a Dream, it's got tragedy and it's got comedy and it's got just plain total morose, depressing crap, and then it's got the hysteria. I think even more so, because Requiem for a Dream is mostly very depressing and just keeps getting more and more depressing till the point where you want to blow your brains out.
Yeah.
Or like in Pie, at the end you want to do that thing in your head. See, I didn't exactly say...
Well, somebody else already did.
They did what?
Somebody already faxed the ending of it.
No, I know. Oh, so you haven't seen a movie?
Not yet, but I will.
Well, no, you won't mind when he puts the drill in his head.
No, I won't.
Honestly, I just gave away the ending. Well, no, it's I don't know. It's black and white. It's good. But, you know, if you're going to see one of the two, Requiem for a Dream is much better. Pie is okay, and you'll enjoy it because it's got the Orthodox Jewish cult in there, and they're wrapping the tefillin around their arms, the straps.
Oh, my favorite.
Oy vey. Yeah, it'll bring you back. It'll bring you back some great memories of your former accountant. Here's a call from Hollywood. Hello.
What's up, Neil?
Yes, sir.
This one's going to win your poll.
Okay.
The Shawshank Redemption. And George, I don't need to hear you moaning. You know what, George? You are the most goddamnest boring human being I've ever heard. Quit cackling, Carlos. You can do the job. You're doing fine. George, go away. Thanks, Neil.
Okay.
Thanks for the vote of confidence. Thanks for the vote of confidence. But George didn't moan. But I was thinking about moaning. I mean, it was a good movie, but
I'll do more than moan.
Okay.
You notice how Carlos has, like, stepped right in here?
Sure.
Ever since you were groaning on American Beauty, Carlos has had to kind of, like, move in and fill the breach here because you're so negative. You know? Although,
yeah.
I thought you were just being negative.
I am
not. See, Carlos is more negative in a more pleasant way.
No. He's much more negative.
I know. Like I said, but he's much more negative, but in a more, I don't know,
in a more
jovial way.
Way.
Anyway, when are we going to put that poll up there? We got 2, 4. Now, let's not put it up till about 11 o'clock, okay?
Got it.
Are we putting his suggestion on there?
Shawshank Redemption, you bet.
Just because of the call.
That's the one that I got. I've got it on videotape. Jason, who used to work in our sports department at QM a couple of years ago, Jason gave me the tape, and every day he would come in. Have you watched Shawshank yet? Have you watched it? Now, wasn't that a prison movie?
Yes.
See, I'm not interested in prison movies. I can't think of one prison movie I've ever seen in my life that I enjoyed that I thought was good. They're all really morbid and depressing. Was it morbid and depressing?
No.
Really?
I mean, it had its moments of morbidity, but it had a happy
ending. So which
one
should I watch first, Schindler's List or Shawshank Redemption? Which
Schindler's
I won't watch
List.
Either one of them. I won't watch either one of them.
Oi!
No more Jew movies. 22. Oh, sorry, Dennis. I'm sorry I said Jew movies. I shouldn't have said that. Well, Dennis didn't care about that. You can say fag, you can say a kike,
right.
I guess. Dennis wouldn't be bothered by that. Just calm down. Put it back in your pants, Dennis. Your wife's starting to get real nervous. Everybody in town is wondering what the hell we're going to do about you. Straitjacket is a possibility. Just try to calm yourself down, okay? I'm not going anywhere. Hey, the Neil deals keep on rolling from Tom Lehman and Joe Prieto of Halle-Pontiac GMC. That's where you ought to be going if you want a really unbeatable deal and get treated like a human being, which is why they've been around for over 35 years in that same great location. They are legendary in South Florida. Neil deal number one at Halle right now. Get yourself 0% financing for 60 months on every 2003 Pontiac or GMC in stock. And Neil deal number two gets you up to a $4,000 rebate on every 2003 GMC and Pontiac in stock. That's correct. Get up to a $4,000 rebate on every 2003 car or truck in stock, and attention current and former military personnel get an additional $750 rebate from your friends at Hallett-Pontiac, former and current military personnel. Of course, Hallett's also got a great selection of certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, no lemons on the lot, and if somebody else turns you down for credit, Hallett's the first place you ought to head to because credit is never a problem for you at Hallett, even if you used to work at QAM. And don't forget to stop by and test drive the all-new powerful Pontiac Grand Prix at Hallett-Pontiac, too. Hallett-Pontiac GMC at 13401 South Dixie Highway. That's U.S. 1 across from the falls. Open every day, 7 days a week. If you want more information on those Neil deals, call the Neil Deal Hotline toll-free. It's 1-888-534-4211. That's 1-888-534-4211. Don't forget, all Neil deals subject to credit approval. See dealer for details at Hallett-Pontiac GMC. I'm sure you'll agree with me. They really are professional grade.
We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Who's going to give Ricky a blow?
If you blow too much, you're in trouble.
The White House issued a statement today. Postpone your trip to Canada right away. Best not go there, it's just not safe. They're not a part of our coalition anyway. Canadians have got the sauce. Knowing that will bring you harm. Canadians have got the sun. Canadian love views. Canadians are not like us. Obey and listen and get off that bus. For planning fear, this falls right in line. And it could have happened at a better time. Canadians have got the sun.
Coming there will bring you harm. Canadians have got the stars. Canadian love you. 9:45 at 5:60 WQM. Which movie had the best or the most shocking, bizarre ending of all time? And here's two more. Arlington Road and To Live and Die in L.A.
Okay.
Got them? Did you see either one of those?
Nope.
And neither did I. I think that's the problem.
Oh, wait, no, I saw Arlington Road. Yes, very good.
Was it really?
Yes, and it qualifies for the poll.
Well, look, that's the idea. See, and again, let me try to explain, because I do understand that we got some people out there, in case you haven't heard the show before, we got some people with, you know, limited IQ. And so when we ask a question, somebody needs to explain it to them. Not what was the best movie, not what was the most thrilling movie, not what was the most entertaining movie, which movie had the best or most shocking ending? Because like we said before, one of the biggest problems with filmmakers is that they can put together a really sensational movie. In fact, some movies you can tell that they never knew when to end it. It just
right.
goes on and on. Like, how do we end this turkey already? I mean, it's, you know, not too bad,
right.
but how do we bring this to a conclusion, you know?
Just roll credits.
God. You know what it reminds me of? It's kind of like those promos that we play on this radio station. They're getting longer and more ponderous and longer and I mean, good. This last one that we had there from the Mo Show, I mean, what was that all about? And then the one we got for the Dirty Boys, there's been about two of those that sounds like about half of the show is on there. Hey, Clarence, get with it, okay, you idiot? Oh, that's right. I forgot tomorrow's payday. Like I said, that Clarence is the best. No, seriously, the promos are too goddamn long. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
A promo is supposed to be like a short clip, just a short and concise, a little tease to make people interested in, oh, that might be interesting, let me tune into that. Not guys just rambling on incoherently about some big breast or whatever the hell Joe's talking about. Good God almighty. And the fact that they're making excuses about that book, about the Friday night thing. I've heard some of that show. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon Wireless line. Here's a call from Montclair. Hello.
Good morning. I want
yes, sir. Okay.
Your racer head. Winner, hands down your pants.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks. Eraser head, he said, it's down your pants.
Mm-hmm.
You seen it?
Yeah.
Three times.
How many times?
Three.
And?
It doesn't have a beginning, middle, or end. No scene has anything to do with any other scene. How he can
really?
Say that, I don't know. Most bizarre movie you'll ever see, but it doesn't have a bizarre ending. It's just bizarre.
Okay. And you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I'm curious
it's
now.
David
though.
Lynch's first...
David Lynch, that's
yeah.
right.
It's his first, it's his student film, so it makes all his other films look normal.
It's a student film? You mean
like
the Blair Witch Project?
Or something, for his final exam or something.
Oh, no.
Gratuitously strange.
Okay, let me see if I can find it. Well, I know I will find it in my book. Just to see what they say, since these are Sudes that wrote this. Eraserhead. Lynch's remarkable first feature is a true original. There's little... So I told you, these are Sudes. These are
okay.
British Sudes that wrote these
it's
reviews.
Original.
There's little in the way of a coherent story. Nervy Henry, living in a sordid industrial city of smoke, steam, and shadows, is forced to marry his girlfriend when she pronounces herself pregnant. He finds himself the father of an all-devouring inhuman monster. But almost like a surrealist movie... It has its own weird logic, mixing black comedy concerning nuclear families and urban life, horror and sci-fi conventions, and pure fantasy. Best seen is a dark nightmare about sexuality, parenthood, and commitment in relationships that astounds through its expressionist sets and photography, the startling, sinister soundtrack, and relentlessly imaginative fluency. Only the sequence that gives the film its name, a dream within the dream about Henry's head being lopped off and turned into a pencil eraser, fails to work, and there's a that's a small reservation for a film with so many cinematic coups.
Wow.
They loved it. Well, let me ask you this. If you didn't like it, then why did you see it three times?
I was really, really high the first two times. So I thought that's the only reason I didn't understand it, because everybody else was raving about it, so I thought, all right, I'll watch it again this time.
I can't imagine that under any circumstances watching a movie three times if I didn't like it.
Well... I thought, maybe there's something wrong with me. I'm not understanding it, so let me watch it again.
I mean, last night I'm flipping around. A hockey game was already decided. I'm flipping the channels, and here on one of the movie channels is The Fan with Lauren Bacall.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it mainly because of the fact I hadn't seen it in years, number one. And I think mainly because the guy that was stalking her looked so good. Man, I can't think of what his name was.
I was a captive audience. It was a group thing.
Liar. You never saw The Fan?
No. I mean, I saw it a long time ago, so I forgot what the guy looks like and et cetera.
I'm not asking you what the guy looks like. What do you care what the guy looks like? You want to start getting trapped into those stereotypes that everybody's calling you a faggot now? Here it is, The Fan, with there were different remakes of the movie The Fan. Well, Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes and Benicio Del Toro. Why the hell did... There's another movie that definitely did not need to be remade. 1981, Lauren Bacall, James Garner, Maureen Stapleton. Oh, she got butchered up pretty good in there. And what's the guy's name? Michael Biehn? Is that the guy's name?
Michael Biehn. Jelly Biehn.
No, but is that his name, the one who was the stalker?
Yes.
How do you know that? You said you forgot who the hell the guy was.
But I know about it.
5, 6, 7. Is he speaking in code today or something, Beaner Boy? Is he, like, up to some kind of tricks? Don't forget the Mo Howard David of Keychain is going to be available. Now, when are we going to be able to do this stuff? How long does it take?
A month or so.
So we're gunning for like sometime in the summer, June, July, something like that. And then we'll just leave it on our website in perpetuity. Okay, now who's going to handle the...
I don't know.
Here's a call from Hialeah. Hello.
Neil, how are you this morning?
Okay, sir.
I don't know if it qualifies as shocking, but definitely bizarre, is Jacob's Ladder.
Okay. Anybody see it?
What was that?
No.
I'm asking these. I didn't see it. I'm asking these beaners if either one of them ever saw it. And the answer is no.
It's definitely bizarre. I don't know about shocking.
Okay, well, I mean, either mix or match. Thanks.
Thank you.
Jacob's Ladder. We got it on there. You got it?
I heard about it. Somebody ruined it for me. It's got a twist end.
Well, what happened?
Well, I can't tell you.
Well, it's not like we're promoting people are going to go out to their Blockbuster.
The whole
movie. Then don't go to Blockbuster anyway. Get your DVDs someplace else and your videos. Because they edit. I never got a chance to came in right near the end of the show yesterday. That fax from somebody about how they were buying movies at Blockbusters, and they noticed that certain things that were like grayed out, the certain body parts and whatever, and they called us through and they said, oh, well, we edit all of our movies for best, for the most enjoyable family viewing. If I want to go buy a movie or rent a movie, I don't want some asshole censoring and deciding what I can see and what I can't see. In fact, hasn't that already been done?
Yes.
When they give the movie whatever rating they give it, hasn't there already been a certain amount of censorship?
Yes. Good enough. Stuff is getting through that rating system.
Not good enough for Schlockbuster. Well, Schlockbuster can take all their goddamn movies and stuff them up their ass. How do you like that? I wouldn't go into Blockbuster again if you paid me by the second. And thank God. I don't know if they're up here or not. I don't see any Blockbusters here. HMV. Have you ever seen HMV store?
No.
Oh, huge. Then there's Sam's, which is kind of ancient and crummy because they let it run down. But the HMV is all over town. It's a big chain. Just a selection like you wouldn't believe on two floors with escalators, the whole deal. And just every CD, every DVD, every video that's ever been made just about, except for Ed Wood and Bob Roberts. And you keep forgetting to remind me to order those.
Sorry.
Here's a call from Boca. Hello.
Hi, Neil.
Yes, sir.
I love your show. The suggestion I had was another movie that should have never been remade. And maybe by today's standards, it seems kind of like a cheap trick, but I was completely blown away as a kid when I watched Planet of the Apes for the first time. The end of that just sent me over the edge.
I saw it, but I don't even remember what the end of the movie was.
Damn you. The end of the movie, he sees some relics from, he sees the Statue of Liberty.
Everybody knows. He finds the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
I guess he had to be there, huh?
Absolutely. Anyway, the only complaint I have about your show is you're not nearly hard enough on Mo. That guy is a malignant pimple on the face.
I'm not hard enough on Mo. What would you like me to do, murder him?
Well,
I'm not hard. That's the first time I've ever heard that. I'm not hard enough on the Mo-meister.
That's funny.
The guy's despicable. I'll do the lumbata on his grave with you when he passes away. Anyway, love your show. Gotta go.
Okay, have a great day.
Bye.
Now, see, we're like lightening up on Mo a little bit while we do the keychain thing, and then after we get that thing out there and sell a whole bunch of them, and then we'll go back and rip him an ass, huh? Now, we're not going to lighten up a little bit. He understands the relationship. We're not going to, like, all of a sudden bond and become friendly. I think it's a little bit too late for that, if you catch my drift. Yeah.
I already ordered my pants.
Yeah. I like the one with the lime green one leg and the lemon yellow the other one and the checkered ass. That's my favorite. Is the old... See, here again, here's a list. Here's a list.
Mm-hmm.
Basic, John Travolta, Sam Jackson.
Very new movie.
Huh?
A very new movie. I don't think many people are going to have seen that.
Phone Booth, Colin Farrell, Kiefer Sutherland. I can't stand Kiefer Sutherland. He just, something about
just,
him.
Just out. I haven't seen it.
Primal Fear, Ed Norton is actually the killer. Oops.
Good movie. I mean, good ending. Sorry.
Primal Fear, but Ed Norton is actually the killer. Oops. Well, I'm just reading off the page, okay? So how many movies can these people go out there and buy anyway?
That actually ruins the whole movie, so...
That ruins the movie, right?
That's the whole reason to watch the movie.
Oh, I see. And American Psycho? They refuse to do one. They the Champ and Old Yeller. You got Primal Fear on there?
Got it.
The original Dutch version of The Vanishing, not a Hollywood remake. I've never been able to see it a second time. It gave me a permanent case of claustrophobia.
He is absolutely correct.
The Vanishing?
The original Dutch version of The Vanishing. Of Vanishing.
I think I've seen that. Pretty sure.
Surprise.
5670560. So anyway, in Primal Fear at the end, Ralph Norton is really the murderer. Remember Norton?
Norton.
9:57 at 560 WQAM. What's the schedule for today? We got the usual schedule. Mad Dog at 1, Hank is at 3. Today from the Seminole Indians in Oy Vey.
Oy!
Oh, brother. Hank is going to feel like a teenager in that place. At the Seminoles in Hollywood, he's going to be doing a show. 6:30 Marlins on direct. The Giants at the Marlins, 7:05, to see if they can extend their losing streak to 6. The big...
Oh!
At 1 o'clock. At, 10 o'clock, and then Joe and Mark overnight. Come on, work on that show, Joe. Work on that show, Joe and Mark. Get with it. Push it up a little bit. You know, Mother's Day is coming up this Sunday, and this year surprise her with a gift of relaxation from the Inner Retreat Spa and Wellness Studio, where she'll enjoy a true spa experience. The Inner Retreat Spa and Wellness Studio is offering a great Mother's Day package for just $99. Mom's journey will begin at her arrival, where professional licensed staff members will greet her with soft music, candlelight, and hot tea. She'll receive a relaxing, revitalizing facial, followed by a massage designed to relieve all stress in her neck, back, and shoulders. All of these things for just $99. The Inner Retreat Spa and Wellness Studio is located at 726 Riverside Drive in Coral Springs, right next door to the Outback Steakhouse. For more information, call 954-341-6220, mention WQAM, and the first 25 people will receive a free aromatherapy candle or organic specialty soap in a silk pouch with their Mother's Day package. They're located in Coral Springs at 726 Riverside Drive, like I said, right next door to the prestigious Outback Steakhouse. Call them at 954-341-6220. Don't forget, this year do something different and really enjoyable for Mom with a true spa experience at the Inner Retreat Spa and Wellness Studio.
Live and local. This is Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Neil God.
Hola, this is Carlos. Neil and Jorge are sick. I take their place. Oh, I forget to pay open bid. Today we put up a poll. The poll will be your favorite operating system. What is your favorite operating system? Windows 87, Windows 95, Windows 98, 200 NT, Windows XP Pro, Windows Me, or Mac Relays. Lego to the phone. Double QAM.
Whoa! You're doing another poll! They're not even there today!
So, it's part of the tour.
No, not a moment's peace. I haven't slept in 4 years.
Yes?
And an underling like you just strolls in and I have to kowtow to his whimsy?
Yes?
I hate you.
I hate you.
I hate you, too.
I hate you, too. Please do not hurt me.
Well, you got me there.
We'll be right back.
10:02, that's a preview of things to come, no doubt. So Rich Pachter says Plunkett and McLean. McLean?
Plunkett and McLean.
And I looked it up in the book, and yes, just to make sure I was spelling it right, because I did put it on there, because he writes a whole page of caca, which you already saw about how great it was and very entertaining. But I'm reading the review, and just the last part, who's in this movie?
Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler. He says, of course, we root for the, well, I don't want to read the whole thing. We root for the boys since Carlisle and Miller of an easy rapport, but the plotting is fumbled. Tyler is given little to do. Scott's sideline villainy is fudged. And the frenetically upbeat, the frenetically upbeat last reel is almost nonsensical. They didn't like it.
Right.
They hated it.
Yeah.
Almost nonsensical. Rich Pachter loved it, though.
Yeah, it was so-so.
5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon Wireless line. What movie had the best or most shocking ending of all time? Somebody said No Way Out. These are faxes that you sent me earlier that I forgot about. No Way Out?
Never saw it.
Oh, we already got that on there.
Right. About it. We put it on.
Oh,
there.
Sorry. Excuse me.
The Butler did it.
Said Alzheimer's kicking in. Yeah, I think the Butler did it in La Cage Fall, too. Jacob. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T line. Here's Fort Lauderdale. Hello.
Good morning, Neil.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Great.
I haven't seen a lot of those movies on your list. This is an old movie that I saw about 2 years ago for the first time, but it's real, you know, it's been in the, you know, critically acclaimed and everything. Citizen Kane, the ending of Citizen Kane. Do you remember the part where he's searching through his whole life and he becomes an old man and finally he figures out what it is and it's the sled at the end?
Yeah, other people have said that. George is already chuckling and chortling and making gurgling sounds in the back, but I've heard that from many people.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
Yeah, 100 years ago, sure.
Yeah, well, I just was very surprised at the ending. I don't know. I just thought that, you know, he's searching through his whole life to find out what it's all about, and just this stupid sled.
I was, exactly. I was hoping the ending would come a lot sooner than it did.
Okay. All right, well, then don't put it down, then. That's fine.
No, no, we are going to put it down. A lot of people would agree with you. Thanks.
Okay.
See, don't be defensive just because George is giving you a hard time. So far, George, other than a boy and his dog, he don't like any of these.
That's not true.
Including even ones he hasn't seen yet. Well, no, you are pretty judgmental, okay?
Yeah.
If you ask me. Or well, if you ask Carlos. Carlos, I'm sure, would agree.
Yeah.
See, I told you. I knew he'd agree. If he knows what's good for him.
Citizen Kane.
Well, we have heard that from many people before about the amazing ending.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Usually, because I've tried watching it more than once over the years, I'm usually in a coma long before we get to the ending.
It was shocking, all right. That's it. I waited for that.
Here's one that says a classic film with a classic ending, Chinatown, with Jack Nicholson.
Oh, it was a good movie. I liked it a lot. I don't know if the ending was surprising or shocking.
I saw it so long ago, I don't remember. About 100 years ago.
They're not understanding the question.
It says a classic film with a classic ending.
Classic
Chinatown.
Is not surprising or shocking.
If I can finish reading the facts. Carlos, beat him on the side of the head real hard once, just once. Faye Dunaway gets it in the eye a la Mo Green.
Do you know who I am? I'm Mo Green. I made my bones when you were going out with cheerleaders.
John Huston gets his paws around a young woman produced from his incestuous rape of his daughter, Dunaway, and Jack Nicholson is just left stunned. Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown, it says. And you say...
I like the movie. Let's put it down. Who cares? It's a good movie, but I don't think it qualifies for the, a shocking
ending. Let's send Eric the list we got so far, okay? Because it's going to be a big, big, fat list, okay?
With or without Chinatown?
With Chinatown. Don't pay any attention to George. We're just letting him, blow off steam. That's all.
I didn't say we were. I already wrote it down.
You don't have to get defensive about it. I'm just giving him instructions on how to ignore you.
Oh, he knows.
Works well for me. Anyway, Jerry Bonita Springs says, you've piqued my interest in Requiem for a Dream. Good, Jerry, because if you see one movie this year, two movies this year, Requiem for a Dream and Happiness are the two that you ought to see. Take a couple of pills, purple ones, green ones, before, during, and after. I got to watch Requiem for a Dream again today. I'm just jonesing for it. Watching that once is just not enough, you know?
No, it's not. I'm sorry, I'm reading faxes.
For those listeners who haven't run out and bought the DVD of Requiem for a Dream, it says in this fax, thank you, Jerry, for all this whole schedule. It'll be shown on IFC, the Independent Film Channel, 5 times during this month. The first one being next Wednesday, May 14th at 10 p.m. Thursday the 15th at 3 in the morning. You can tape it. I don't think too many people are going to be up at 3 in the morning. In fact, maybe instead of listening to Joe and Mark, you can watch that movie. 5/24, what day would that be? Look on the calendar real quick because I can't figure that out.
Saturday,
May 24th, 10 p.m. Sunday the 25th will be 3:15 in the morning, and then the 31st, which would be the following Saturday, May 31st, 12:14 in the morning. So that would be like Friday night, Saturday morning, I'm assuming.
Do you think IFC would show it in its entirety?
Yes. Why not?
I'm not sure.
I've never seen them chop anything.
Really?
No.
What would they take out of it?
Nothing.
Ass to ass.
Oh, the sex stuff? Yes. They show porno movies on IFC.
Practically.
No, not practically. They show. I've seen porno movies on there.
I thought it was basic cable.
Independent Film Channel?
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
It's premium.
Like USA or something, like they won't show certain things.
Yeah.
My bad.
It says, IFC is on most cable systems and it's on DirecTV. My choice for the best movie ending is already on your poll. I agree with George. A Boy and His Dog was the best movie ending ever. Says Jeremy Disprings. There's one for George. And I agree. The ending was great in that.
Hysterical.
It was, I think he made the right choice.
Yeah.
Of course, then again, I'm, look at it with a jaundiced eye. What the hell do I know? And I'm a dog lover anyway. Let's see. Crying Game and The Sixth Sense. That looks like two to me. Now, do we have those on there?
Sixth Sense is good, but Crying Game, the part that they're finding shocking is about 20 minutes into the movie, not the end.
Oh. Sixth Sense, okay. Let's put that on there. Give them one out of two. Here's one that says, this is only available on VHS, but it'll be released on DVD August 5th. Compared to all the other 80s teen movies, it has a very real and shocking ending, not a happy ending like most of the 80s teen movies. Yeah, who the hell wants a happy ending all the time? It's so predictable, you know? I mean, there are some times when you demand a happy ending, when the audience just, which is why, of course, in the last, oh, I don't know, what, 10, 15 years, they've made more and more movies with different endings when you buy the DVD. Whichever ending is going to make you happy. Which is so stupid, you know? I mean, that would be like writing a book, and then, the last chapter in the book, we got 15 different versions, depending on what kind of movie, what color pill you're taking today while you're reading the book. Yeah.
If you like that ending, how about this one?
Right. The Last American Virgin, 1982.
Yeah, and that's when I saw it, so I don't even remember how it ended.
It says, sure, it starts out like any other teen movie of that wonderful era of the adolescent 80s, but it takes a few dips in mood, all with an 80s soundtrack from the time. When the main character ends up losing the girl of his dreams to a much more sexual friend, the viewer may get a lump in the throat, but it's not over yet, or may get a lump in his pants. For the next 30 minutes, he comforts the girl when she's dumped and impregnated by the so-called friend. You get the feeling maybe they'll live quietly ever after, considering they grow so close, feeding off each other's feelings of rejection. But wait, it's still not over yet.
Now I remember.
I guess,
Now I remember.
In the final 5 minutes of the film, there may be the staple huge party, but as our hero walks into a room, yada yada, it goes on.
I remember.
Final credits roll instantly over a shocked facial. I'm not going to tell you what it is. A complete downer in a pretty atypical. Okay, excellent. So let's get that under Last American Virgin. Got it?
Got it.
Okay. And we're going to get this pulled up there now because we certainly got a whole crap load of these. Right?
Right.
You can only imagine by the end of the show, we probably have about 500. That's okay. Keep certain people busy. Keep them out of that food business. Because the one thing that people can't stand the worst in the audience, based on yesterday's poll, is big, fat slobs. People are just nauseated by it. They're disgusted by it. They're revolted. These are the most pathetic creatures, and in fact, we feel bad for them. I feel bad for me. Because all I got is this 30, 35 pounds, desperate. I want to lose it. I can't do it. Can't stop the fat. Can't do it. I've done everything but stand on my head. I've done everything but do the liposuction and the stomach stapling. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. Look what it did for Josh Friedman, by the way. Stomach stapling. I think what they did with him is they cleaned out the previous 400 pounds and made way for the new 600, from what I'm hearing. Isn't that correct?
A new batch.
Yeah, a new... there you go with that Ron and Ron crap again. Anyway, speaking of what we're talking about, speaking of big fat slobs, balance for life is something you sure ought to think about if you're frustrated and you've tried all the other diets and they just don't work for you. Like I've always told you, not every diet is good for everybody. Everybody's different. Balance for life is working for tons of people. Old ponytail over there, Jeff Cohen, will be delighted to regale you with stories of all the weight he lost on Balance for Life. The thing that makes it the easiest is you don't have to pick anything out other than from the menu that they send you. You have two choices for each meal, and that's it. You don't have to shop. You don't have to count calories or carbs. You don't have to cook or do anything except just go to your door, open up that baby every morning, and right there at your doorstep by 6 o'clock is your little black sack. And that's the key to losing the weight. In your black sack, there are three delicious gourmet meals, two delicious snacks, and that's the food you'll have for the entire day. And believe me when I tell you, you won't be hungry, you won't be starving, there are no parakeet-like portions like most of the other programs. Three delicious full meals with all kinds of fresh goodies, and they're chicken dishes and fish dishes, whatever you like. Like I said, you get two choices for each meal every day that you're on the program. And the weight pours off your body because it's all based on the zone diet. So here's the opportunity for you to really lose the weight the delicious and painless way with Balance for Life. If you're frustrated from all the other diets that haven't worked for you, give this one a try. You owe it to yourself to do it. Here's the number to call, Balance for Life. It's 954-568-3229. That's 954-568-3229. You'll start seeing results within days. Or check them out on the web if you like at balanceforlife.com.
Live and local, we're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
This woman has to be got to
a
hospital.
A hospital? What is it?
It's a big building with patients, but that's not important right now.
Do I have SARS? It's the latest in fright. I was traveling far, flew out of Beijing last night.
Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Calling Dr. Howard.
Am I infected or the next one selected? Am I at risk? Do I need a face mask with SARS?
Brain is gone. It's medically impossible.
I don't know what it is, and some people are dead. It started in Asia. I hope it doesn't enter
sick people come.
Oh, God, go! Oh, I'm having chest pain. Where's the defibrillator? Clear! Oh.
This thing pays for itself.
Do ISRs, it's the latest in fright. I was traveling far throughout the region last night.
Well, we're safe for now. Thank goodness we're in a bowling alley.
Do I have SARS?
Call 911! No, you got the wrong number.
Do I have SARS?
This is 911.
I just got a good chuckle. I took a look over at our poll here. Eric has a little editorial comment today. It says, everybody likes a good poll now, and Neil is no exception. Note, although your opinion does matter to us, the real reason we take these polls is to see how many of you agree with George. Oh, God, you guys aren't going to get started again, are you?
Yes.
Good. Good, just leave me out. Leave me out of it. I already had a stroke, okay? I don't want another one. Yeah, that's probably the reason we take the polls, is to see how many people think that George is right or if he's full of crap. God, we got so many faxes here, and I got faxes up the ass. Where the hell, where was the one about, oh, here it is, from Claudia. She says, it's been a long time since I saw Happiness, but I do remember the ending, which I'm not going to use the expression you used in here, because we're,
Don't.
Well, no, that doesn't tell you anything, what you're seeing on there. That doesn't tell you. It says, we rented it after seeing the director or slash writer's other film in the Company of Men. Well, he also was the director of Welcome to the Dollhouse, which somebody recommended yesterday. Says, the guy really blurs the line between black comedy and social commentary really well. I'm not sure if I would recommend In the Company of Men to you. The interesting thing is the writer of these, and really disturbing but great Broadway play, which I can't remember the name of, is he's a Mormon. Todd Solondz, S-O-L-O-N-D-Z. She says, you know, the guys who wear the special underwear in Utah, he's a really interesting guy and a great writer. And Claudia says Planet of the Apes is her choice. Poll is up. The Sixth Sense has got 5 votes. It just went up. Usual Suspects, 4. And it just, you know, what's the point of... and then we'll see if you agree with George or not. I bet you Happiness doesn't get a lot of votes, and probably because not too many people have seen it.
Right.
Right? Which doesn't prove anything other than not too many people
the
have seen it.
The most popular movie is going to wind up winning this.
Right. That's the problem. Here's a fact that says, when I was a teenager in 76 or 7, my friends and I went to see Carrie in a packed theater. When Carrie's arm popped out of the ground at the end. Oh, you know what another one is?
Hmm?
Deliverance.
Okay.
Don't you remember John Voight is finally home?
Uh-huh.
I don't want to say what it was, but...
I remember.
This fact reminded me of that. And Deliverance, let's get that on there, of course. Anyway... and grabbed the girl visiting her grave in a scene that ultimately turned out to be a dream sequence, the entire theater schmit their pants. As Lefty would say in Donnie Brasco, I think I schmit my pants. You know, I think that was the only good line he had in the movie. That's why they kept repeating it. I feel bad for Al Pacino because he's so great. And it's his own choice. Sometimes people just, you know, take bad roles.
Right.
And they stuff them in their suitcase or in their bag and they take them home to their condo. Based on the element of surprise, I'd have to give Carrie my vote for best ending. None of us saw it coming. Okay, Carrie, you got it?
Got it.
I'm sure I saw Carrie, but that's. I guess I'm going to have to get that again. See, that's one thing about buying DVDs. What?
You don't want to get Carrie again.
John Travolta in his heyday.
Oh, no! I forgot. Like I said, I've already seen that. Well, I did see it about 100 years ago. Best movie ending, The Italian Job. You ever hear of that?
Just came out. I don't even know if it's out yet.
You don't know if it's out yet?
I saw a preview for it, and the movie's like on Monday.
Well, so it's out now.
Right.
Well, somebody saw it. Somebody's obviously a moviegoer. Don't start poo-pooing just because we got somebody out there. I haven't seen most of these movies. I haven't been that movie intensive for years, up until now with the DVDs. Right?
Right.
What the hell do I know about most of these? Although I don't care what anybody says. Happiness, you watch it this weekend, and mark my words, you might even change your vote. You might even erase your head and change your vote back over from A Boy and His Dog, which I think I was one of the first people to rave on air about A Boy and His Dog and what a great movie that was.
Good call.
And look at the cast in that movie. Not only Don Johnson, but what's his name was in it who died from booze? Great actor.
Oh, yeah, could you narrow it down?
No, I don't know who I'm talking about. I can see him right now in front of me. Jason Robards.
There you go.
A lot of really good people on the flick. It was great. In fact, that movie reminded me of The Prisoner.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm, because they had that underground bunker society. And,
right.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's one that says, please, Neil, could you have to make a couple of drop-ins from the scene in Happiness where John Lovitz from Saturday Night Live goes on his date in the beginning of the movie. It's quite a date. It is quite a date. Movies with weird or interesting endings. It says Donnie Darko and Lost Highway. We want to put either one of those down or nobody knows?
I never saw Donnie Darko.
How about Donnie Brasco?
Lost Highway was another David Lynch, so it was just strange all the way through.
Okay. Well, anybody that puts down a bunch, we're going to have to, like, you know, we'll go to committee on it. Paul says, isn't Planet of the Apes the movie where Charlton Heston says,
you son of a bitch,
when he sees the torch of the Statue of Liberty sticking out of the sand when he realizes he's still on Earth?
You son of a bitch.
Is that it?
No, he doesn't say that. He says, damn you all to hell.
Oh. Where did that come from?
You son of a bitch.
When he was visiting WIOD that one day.
Come on.
He was kind enough to cut that for us.
Oh, really? I don't remember that. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
I mean, I remember a few people doing things for a special, like...
Hi, this is G. Gordon Liddy, and they don't come any worse than Neil Rogers.
I remember that.
He didn't do it specifically for us. I think Mitch Lewis or one of the other guys had him in a production room and just asked him to throw some lines down, as it were. That was one of them.
Well, I'm sure he don't remember it.
No.
And I'm sure G. Gordon Liddy does. G. Gordon Liddy's obsessed with me in the show, by the way. I should point that out to you.
Really?
Best surprise movie, ending to a movie, The Sting, says Mike Chronic. I thought you weren't going to send me any more of his faxes.
I forgot.
Oh. The Sting?
I forgot how that ended, too. That was like 30 years ago, I thought.
See, all I had to do was mention Charlton Heston, and right away George's Alzheimer's kicked in. How can the audience tell whether they agree with you or not if you forgot most of the goddamn movie?
God damn it.
Here's Sean in Hollywood Chronic, who says, I think your guy voting for Psycho meant not so much the prison room or the fly scene, but the fact that he was his mother. Well, but that's not the end of the movie, see?
No, they're not getting
it. That's not the end of the movie. The end of the movie is the end of the movie, okay? The end of the movie is like the final scene.
Right,
the
like,
final, right, that's it. Ta-da! That's it. Go home. Sean also suggests two films in case one is too obscure. Oh, he also says The Italian Job. How do you like that, Beaner boy?
Oh, it's just out. It's just out.
What is wrong with you, man?
Hola, this is Carlos.
Yeah, well, that's beside the point. Yeah, he can just sit there and dumb me up and we can keep playing.
Hola, this is Carlos.
Yeah. I have to have him, extend all that energy, expend, especially when you weigh about 42 pounds. The Italian Job, starring Michael Caine. Is he Caine, Steve Caine? Let's give Steve Caine some more publicity. What do you say?
No.
Put him on the front page of the newspapers. In fact, I think the Herald and the Sun Sentinel ought to just put his puss on there and the time that he's on 24 hours a day on their website. Him and that homophobe Buddy Nevins. Maybe they can do a two-man deal and a show, too.
Have to apologize, by the way. The Italian Job that's out now is a remake from a 1969 movie.
Ah. Starring Michael Caine.
Right.
A gang of gold robbers ends up with their escape van teetering on a mountain precipice with a million in gold bullion anchoring the van toward death. Michael Caine says, listen, lads, I've got a smashing idea. And then, well, I'm not going to read the rest. The witness for the prosecution starring Charles Laughton and Marlena Dietrich. We don't have anybody old enough for that, Sean. As the ending credits roll, an announcer asks the audience not to reveal to their friends the bizarre courtroom ending. How do you like that? Well, I guess that must be it. Huh?
Okay.
Witness for the prosecution, what was that, about 1860, I think 1859, just before the Civil War?
Don't mind the kinetoscope.
Thanks, Sean. I bet you'll see it at the Eastman House in Rochester. Yeah, what would you do when you went to Rochester? You go to the Eastman House. You can't go to Don and Bob's anymore because they're out of business. You can't go to Vic and Irv's anymore. Whatever happened with the Vic and Irv's that was supposed to open down there? Did it finally open?
Huh?
With the Rochester White Hots and the garbage plate and all that good stuff?
I ain't seen nothing.
I'll be damned. Well, but how the hell would you see it? You live in Hollywood with all those old yentas.
Yes.
Oi!
I got some good bedtime stories, too, and I'm going to get bogged down in this because we're going to have a list of about 7,000 movies. Don't let me forget a few of these that I want to put on here. Like Arianna Huffington. I'll tell you, when she's good, she's great, and then every now and then she just drops off the deep end for some reason. She's kind of strange. But she writes some good stuff. For example, The President's 77% Solution. I'm going to read a couple of bedtime stories today if it's the last damn thing I do. Don't forget, join our close personal friend Joe Costello, who used to be so damn good. Remember those days?
Mm-hmm.
He was really good. Well, that's what they say. Joan will be noon to 2 at the Singular Wireless Store, 6311 North Andrews Avenue in Cypress Creek. Stop by to get some free Marlin tickets to tonight's game. Register to win a trip for two to the Major League Baseball. Why can't they just say the All-Star Game and a Skybox party at the Pro? Who writes this crap, Miguel?
Yes.
Idiot. I'm going to give you SARS. And I'm not going to give him SARS. I'm going to impregnate him, too. Huh? No, when I come back. You better watch your
rectum
backside, sweetheart. Oh, yeah, well, he wants to get it. I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to give him everything I got, which ain't much. What a pussy, man. I got so many lines I could use now, but I need the job. Him and George Corso, what a match, man. That, ordinarily, would you think the two of them had, like, anything in all in common?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. What, rednecks?
Right wing.
27 past 10. If I see, there you go with that right wing again. That's like using the N-word. That's what Mr. Okay. E. I mean, that's so stupid, you know. If you're going to call somebody right wing, that's the equivalent of calling somebody leftist or liberal, okay? That's all. Like calling them an ultra-conservative. It has nothing to do with the word nigger. I mean, that's just gratuitously he put it in there to get a lot of publicity. Nice going, Steve. Oh, it worked. That's all I can tell you. It worked like a charm. Got him just tons and tons of publicity, and he still don't have any audience. 28 past 10 at QAM. If you're in a dead-end job, man, if you're working on a radio station that nobody knows where to find it on the dial, it's got no audience, if you're, like, working for peanuts, here's the answer for you. Get yourself trained for a brand-new high-paying computer job, and the computer industry is continuing to go through the roof. There's no end in sight. Call our friends at Fast Training. Get trained in just 4 short months. They can give you the training you need to get yourself a really high-paying, fat paycheck job. Call 1-866-FASTTRAIN. They offer convenient day, evening, and weekend classes. Check them out on the web if you like at fasttrain.com. And say goodbye to your boss once and for all and those crap holes you work with in that really meaningless job. Call Fast Train today. They got locations all over town, so there's bound to be one convenient to where you live. They're in Miami, Kendall, Pembroke Pines, and Fort Lauderdale. And when you call Fast Train, tell them that Todd Reck is an asshole and refuses to do anything to service this account. Mention his name several times. Tell him, just say it over and over again, Todd Reck is an asshole. And don't forget to register at fasttrain.com to get your free American flag bumper sticker, too. Call Fast Train today and get yourself on the road to a real serious job and a career and a life. 1-866-FAST-TRAIN.
And local. This is Sports Radio 560. QAM.
Sir Prince wanted to get his rocks off.
Coming up tonight on Inside the Behind the True Hollywood Celebrity Music Biography Profile Story. Only one thing rivaled her total eclipse of the heart, and that was the total eclipse of her career. She was Bonnie Tyler.
Nothing I can do. Total eclipse of the heart.
I remember as a child growing up in Wales, you couldn't keep me away from the piano.
Did you say Wales? Isn't Catherine Zeta-Jones from Wales?
I think so, but
Good Lord, that woman is hot. I mean, even when she's pregnant, you just want to do her.
Yes, that's fine. Now, could
you think Michael Douglas could ever have bagged her if he wasn't famous? I mean, come on, he's like 60 or something.
Look, I thought we might discuss my work with Meatloaf songwriter Jim Steinman.
I mean, I bet sometimes while he's in bed with her, he's just lying there thinking, holy shit, I am banging Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Perhaps you'd find my contribution to the Footloose soundtrack worthy of your program.
Yeah, Footloose is great. Good for you, Catherine.
Bonnie.
Whatever. Hey, do you ever see her around, you know, in Wales?
I'm not interested in Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, come on. I bet even women want a piece of her. I think she holds tremendous appeal to both sexes.
Bloody hell, I'm going away now.
Didn't you already do that back in 1985? Anyway, it's a big, juicy, sopping wet look at show business tonight on Inside the Behind.
10:32 at 560 WQM. Here's Angel Heart. You put that down?
Yes.
When Mickey Rourke realizes he was hired by Lucifer to find out that he had died many years ago and sold his soul to the devil to have it live on somebody else's body, and the last shot is him in an elevator going down to hell. I ruined it, I guess, huh? Sorry, Mickey. Angel Heart. We have two faxes that both came in like almost side by each, which is very strange. Both saying The Crying Game for best ending.
It's not the ending. It's 20 minutes into the movie. There's nothing at all about the ending. She has a penis, and you find out 20 minutes into the freaking movie.
That she's got a penis?
Yeah.
You call that a penis?
Well, many people have asked me that. Oh, seriously, we're not going to put that down, I guess, huh? More confused people, although it does say for the best ending with exclamation points, but they just don't get it. We're not talking about in between, in the middle. That part right before you get up and walk out, although that isn't necessarily the ending. Like, for example, that movie Talk Radio, that Eric Bogosian piece of crap. I think the part right before you walk out is after the opening credits start. That's the smart time to get up and walk out. I kept looking at my watch and looking at... When you start looking at your watch, you know that the movie blows, okay? That's like one step away of just getting up and walking out, is looking at your watch like, how much longer can this piece of swill possibly last? Oh, look at this from USA Today. This is terrible. Picking on the president's family. The White House didn't return phone calls yesterday, but the president and first lady must be reeling over Ashton Kutcher's comments about their twin daughters in the new Rolling Stone magazine. The shaggy-haired TV star tells the magazine that he met Barbara and Jenna Bush, now 21, at a party a year and a half ago, and the sisters, along with a Secret Service agent, went back to his place afterward. The Bushes were underage drinking at my house. When I checked outside, one of the Secret Service guys asked me if they'd be spending the night. I said no. I go upstairs to see another friend. I can smell the green marijuana wafting out under his door. I open the door, and there he is smoking out the Bush twins on his hookah.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't played that Beast thing in a long time because we're on the outs with him. Did he call her a hookah? Kutcher wasn't apologetic Wednesday because in the article he didn't say what was being smoked or who was doing the smoking, said spokeswoman Leslie Sloan Zelnick. Right. On his hookah. Did I say she's a hookah? See, that was a Freudian slip. Well, whatever. Okay, I guess we'll have to play the bong song, huh?
Okay.
Even though the Beast is a fat tub and hopeless and we just, you know, we just give up. We just threw our arms up in the air. We washed ourselves clean from you, okay, Fatso? We tried our damnedest. We feel real bad about it, don't we?
I do.
What movie had the... How about Beaner Boy? You feel bad about the Beast?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No.
What movie had the best or most shocking ending of all time? Sixth Sense had 20 votes. Usual Suspects, 19. Planet with Your Grapes, 8. Shawshank Redemption, 8. No Way Out, 8. American Beauty, 7. Chinatown, 4. That you were poo-pooing, I should point out. You were poo-pooing it.
Well, I liked the movie. It just didn't have a shocking ending.
Arlington Road, 4. Happiness has got 3. Let's hear it! One of those votes is mine, and I'm so pleased as punch. Last American Virgin, 3. Citizen Kane's got a couple. The Racerhead's got a couple. Boy and His Dog's got 2. So the real battle on here is between my choice and George's choice. I got 3 and he's got 2. Of course, I've seen both movies and you haven't.
Right.
I bet you The Hitcher doesn't have any votes. You think?
Don't.
Let me look. It's got to have at least 1. I'm looking. It's got 1. I just don't think many people saw that movie.
They haven't.
Great, great movie.
Right.
Great, sensational movie.
All the way through.
I mean, you talk about a chiller. You talk about
right.
Great acting. C. Thomas Howell, Rutger Hauer. What's the chick's name?
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Right.
And a roller coaster ride all the way through.
I put it in the same category, only much more intense, as Duel with Dennis Weaver that
right.
I was talking about.
Right. Very
where the guy's chasing him with the truck. Same kind of thing. The tension just keeps building all the way throughout. And you just can't escape the guy. And when he gets the French fries in the diner, that to me. I mean, you talk about putting new meaning into the expression finger food. It's a great thing. The Hitcher. I'm trying to do a favor for the audience. They gave me a whole bunch of movies to go out and buy the DVDs, which I did. I spent a fortune, and I'm delighted. Because so far, all of them have been good except for Bully. And that was George's fault.
Sorry.
And Beaner Boy. Now, let's blame it on Carlos, okay? Because he was the one who really sold me on it.
Hola, this is Carlos.
Well, get lost. Didn't you both peddle me a bill of goods on that?
Hey, I was honest about why.
It sucked.
Okay.
It was okay for you, but not for me. I'm not interested in seeing ugly guys naked.
No?
Banging their brains out.
That makes all of us, I think.
No, I don't think so. I think we've got a few people out there that wants to see ugly guy. I mean, good-looking guys naked. And let me say it again. If you go to get Gattaca, you'll see Ethan Hawke in there, and naked as a jaybird, you see his ass, which I don't really care about. But there are a lot of people out there that do. They get really, they're so desperate. They're like the guy in that opening scene of Happiness. They're that desperate. In fact, all the people in that movie were desperate. All you desperate people out there that couldn't get laid in Amsterdam, believe me, happiness will have extra meaning for you. Because almost nobody in there can get an end, except in the middle of the movie, toward the end, Ben Gazzara finally bangs some old bag in a condo. Just, you know, just for kicks. Here's a call from Sunrise. Hello.
Neil.
Yes, sir.
My personal God. How are you? How's the SARS?
SARS is doing great. My fever is 142.
I can't wait for you to return back down south. And
I'm
going to
breathe all over everybody, man. I'm going to show up in the middle of the day when they least expect it and just exhale.
I was thinking maybe even Boca Bryan could do a bit on that, you know, you going back down there and infecting everybody, you could hit that bit, that I'm infected bit.
Yeah, that's not bad. In fact, that's going to be on the Mo Howard David keychain, I should point out. Oh, it really is. I'm infectious. That's going to be on there.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine how that thing is going to sell? That thing is going to sell like halva in Manhattan. It is.
It should. I got one for you and your poll, too.
Okay.
I was thinking of a shocking ending. One that shocked me was Easy Rider.
Peter Fonda.
Well, just the ending.
No, I'm not saying he was shocking. I'm just saying he was in it. Yeah, I would agree with that. In fact, I just saw that a couple of weeks ago on TV, just by accident.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, even that's one that the Backdoor Wiener Boys would know about, too.
And George says,
of course.
He All says, right. Of course. And Crime Wiener Boy says,
hola, this is Carlos.
Yeah. Have a great day, Pally.
You too.
See ya. Easy Rider, get that on the list, okay? A great list. These are movies with the best or the most shocking ending. Not necessarily the best movie, you see. This is part of the problem you have separating, of putting the big floodlight on the real question, okay, of separating the wheat from the chaff. I kind of thought the ending in Debbie Does Dallas wasn't too bad either.
Squirt, squirt.
It had a wild end.
Yeah, how'd that finish?
We already did that on the best porno movie a long time, but the problem is that in recent years, it makes it very difficult because nobody knows the names anymore.
They have names?
Besides Seymour Butts. I mean, yeah, they do have names, but there's so damn many of them now. There's such a glut. Although that probably will change in the next few months once the Attorney General outlaws all of them.
Right.
Starts out covering up the breast on a statue, and then, of course, they're going to come to your home under the Patriot Act and take away your porno. I just mentioned that in passing, all you assholes there at the Sun Sentinel and the Miami Herald. I ever tell you about the time I picked up that guy out on the street? This is many years ago on Biscayne Boulevard from the Miami Herald. I ever tell you that story?
No.
True story. 10:41 at 5, and he followed me home, and then he got lost, and never actually hooked up with him.
Huh.
Probably just as well. With Mother's Day around the corner, that sounds bizarre, doesn't it? We were both down on Biscayne Boulevard. This is way, way back in the mid-70s. Cruising, like at about 2:30 in the morning, desperate, you know. And I know your line for that is going to be, yeah, he must have been. He was pretty ugly, too. Anyway, Dial-A-Mattress wants to tell you that Mother's Day is coming up just a few days away. It's a perfect time to repay Mom, who spent so many sleepless nights just pacing the floor wondering if you're ever going to show your ass up again. Dial-A-Mattress has got the perfect mattress for you and for your mom. If it's saggy, if it's lumpy, worn out, and I'm thinking about my mother, and I'm thinking saggy is the word, then pick up the phone and call Dial-A-Mattress toll-free at 1-800-MATTRES. They've got the complete line of Sealy. What is it? Sealy, Serta, King, Corlin, Simmons. That's what I said. And you certainly don't want mom sleeping on something that you wouldn't put your ass on, so don't put it off one more minute, especially with time running out. Nothing's got a bigger impact on your life each and every day than a great night's sleep. These are the only people I use, and you ought to be doing the same. Dial-A-Mattress gets more repeat and referral customers than anybody because they know how to treat their customers right. And I guarantee you, I bet you Miguel's life on it, that once you buy a mattress from Dial-A-Mattress, you'll never go back to the old-fashioned way of schlepping to showrooms and wasting time and money again. And don't forget, when you do buy a mattress from Dial-A-Mattress, they'll set up the new one and take away the crappy old bedding for free. That is correct. Dial-A-Mattress sets up the new one, takes away the old, soiled, nasty, stained, worn-out bedding for free. So this Mother's Day, have mommy sleeping like a baby on her brand new bed from Dial-A-Mattress. Gift certificates available too in all denominations. So call right now, toll free, 1-800-MATTRESS, 1-800-MATTRESS for Dial-A-Mattress, the easy, the intelligent way to get you a great night's sleep.
Live and local, this is Sports Radio 560, QAM.
Neil God.
This is Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News.
comedy legend Bob Hope is celebrating his 100th birthday. Recently, I sat down with the centenarian for a retrospective and a bowl of vegetarian chili that took its toll on both of us. Bob, it's been one heck of a ride. Pardon me. You think you'll ever perform again? Ah, bit you back there, too. Is it true? Excuse me. Is it true you used to sleep with the ladies with whom you work? What was in that chili, Bob? Bob, I'll give you a name. You give me the first thing that pops into your head. Anne Margaret. Rosemary Clooney. Bob, did you give many rippers in a little hope?
Yes, that's right.
All right, Bob, I realize it might be asking a tremendous favor, but do you think you could tell us your favorite joke from over the years?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's right.
That's one of my favorites, Bob. Very funny. It's Tom Brokaw for NBC Nightly News.
1046. You notice I never play those because, in all deference to Rick and Suds, but that one I had to make an exception.
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
I liked it.
14 before 11 o'clock. We have to pass everything by George now to see whether it meets his squeal of approval.
It's about time.
That's what Eric says. He says, we only take the poll to find out whether you agree whether your taste is as marginal as George's. And sometimes it is, sometimes it ain't. As a matter of fact, let's see. Let me see how Happiness and a Boy and His Dog are doing right now. Although I have no problem with a boy and his dog. They're tied with three each. They're side by each. Arianna Huffington writes, the president's 77% solution in the L.A. Times. 77%. For weeks now, those three little words have served as the ultimate discussion stopper, a conversational coup de grace. Whether offered up on TV talk shows or tossed across dining room tables, that magic number, the president's robust post-war job approval rating, has been as effective at quelling any disagreement with the Bush administration's selectively bellicose foreign policies or its suicidal tax cuts as a laser-guided bunker buster bomb. 77%. The president is triumphant. 77%. The president can do no wrong. End of discussion. End of democratic debate. Or so Bush and his handlers fervently hope. Only it's not. It's just the beginning. For starters, majorities can be and very, very often have been dead wrong. For instance, Macarena held the top spot on the Billboard singles chart for 14 straight weeks. Need I say more? And I'm not even pointing out to the president that a majority voted against him in 2000. But let's put aside for the moment the ludicrousness of basing anything on increasingly inaccurate opinion polls with their plummeting response rates, laughably small samplings, and precision-flouting margins of error, and take a closer look at the latest numbers. You'll see that the president isn't flying anywhere near as high as Karl Rove would like us to believe. For one thing, the latest Newsweek poll, the president's approval rating has already slumped to 65%, a 12-point drop since the post-fall of Baghdad euphoria that goosed him up in the double sevens. And even that pales in comparison with the 89% rating his father sported after the Gulf War. The instability of the president's putative popularity becomes even more apparent when the subject of the polls is switched from the war in Iraq to the floundering economy at home. Only 49% of Americans approve of Bush's handling of the economy, and more than half think he's not paying enough attention to the issue. This is a big problem for the White House because a majority of those polled cite the economy as their top concern. I'm sure the team Bush wishes the rest of us were paying as little attention to the economy as he is. It's no wonder Rove is struggling so mightily to make 2004 about little more than picking a cockpit-ready commander-in-chief. But being president entails a lot more than making tailhook landings and ordering last-minute bombing runs on restaurants and mosques where Saddam Hussein might be hiding. It requires vision and leadership and the ability to come up with a way to deal with 6% national unemployment that doesn't include hammering Congress to pass yet another tax cut for the rich or repeating the word jobs close to 3 dozen times in a single speech as the president did 2 weeks ago. But even if you put all that aside and focus exclusively on the endless war the administration seems determined to wage, or at least determined to campaign on, the White House's reliance on polling seems destined to blow up in all of our faces. Can you think of anything more preposterous and dangerous than determining matters of war and peace on the basis of public opinion surveys? Yet all indications are that Bush and Chief Strategist Rove are chronic poll watchers and takers. A scary thought when you consider how consistently unreliable polls are. Take the case of an L.A. Times poll conducted during the early days of the Iraq invasion. According to the survey, 50% of Americans were in favor of expanding the fighting in the Middle East to include Iran if it continued to develop nuclear weapons. Impressive and utterly dubious. Just a week after the L.A. Times headline-grabbing findings, a Gallup poll on the same subject came up with a widely a contradictory result, determining that a whopping 69% of Americans opposed an invasion of Iran, even if it was proved to be developing weapons of mass destruction or aiding terrorists. So which was it? Were Americans gung-ho to take on Iran, or did the thought send a shiver up our collective spine? And what if the Wolfowitzes of the world had used the first numbers to convince Rove that a preemptive strike against Iran would be a good political move? Would the Gallup findings have then led the president to make an apologetic call to the ruling Ayatollahs in Tehran saying, sorry, fellas, my bad, but that's polling for you? It's bad enough taking a poll to determine whether the public is in favor of requiring school kids to wear uniforms. It's downright strange Lovian to ask them whether they're in favor of attacking a sovereign nation, even if your approval rating is 100%. Good column by Arianna Huffington. She's usually got her thumb right on it.
Yep.
Every now and then she just goes off the deep end. Maybe that one time a month, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a fact that says, how about the original Planet of the Apes? It's on there. It's in third place. It's got 15 votes. Also, frailty. I think they mean frailty, but
they,
I looked it up in the
frailty.
Book. Is there really such a movie?
Yeah, and it certainly qualifies.
Really?
Yes.
I'll be damned. Well, let's spell it right without the extra, whatever they got, extra I. F-R-A-I-L-T-Y. Frailty. I can spell, baby. I don't know what the hell it's all about, what it means most of the time, but I can spell. There's some really good bedtime stories I want to get to, because unfortunately we have many, many people out there who don't have the time, or certainly don't, and another segment of the audience we ignore are people that don't have a computer. What are we thinking about, you know? We put all the good bedtime stories on there, and then we assume that everybody's going to read them on our website, and we have an enormous number of people who do, but what about people that don't have access to a computer?
Screw them.
No, seriously. I think that's our bad, if you ask me. Oh, I do like this story. I'm just leafing through these and taking the damn paper clips off. U.S. says Halliburton deal includes operating oil fields. Contract much larger than previously known. Contract much larger than previously known. I just am shouting that just in case somebody might care. The U.S. Army has revealed for the first time that a subsidiary of Halliburton Company has a contract encompassing the operation of Iraqi oil fields, a senior U.S. lawmaker said. Previously, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers had described the contract given to Halliburton run by U.S. President Dick Cheney from 1995 to 2000 as involving oil well firefighting. But in a May 2nd letter replying to questions from senior Democratic lawmaker Henry Waxman, the Army said the contract also included operation of facilities and distribution of products. Waxman, the top-ranking Democrat in the House and Representative Committee on Government Reform, asked for an explanation on Tuesday. Your May 2nd letter indicates the contract is considerably broader in scope than previously known, he told Army Corps of Engineers Military Programs Chief Lieutenant General Robert Flowers. How do you like that? And or you can read it on the website, and if you don't have a computer, you're out of luck, like George said. We just don't have time, okay? But it's pretty damn distressing and disturbing, because basically what it boils down to is the president and Cheney and all of their boyfriends and Wolfowitz and his crowd and Richard Pearl, who was holding those seminars telling people how to profit from attacking Iraq and maybe North Korea next. How can seriously, the stuff is all right there. It's in black and white. How can there be so many millions of stupid people, huh? You dangle it right in their face.
Well, I think we won the war. We done a good job. We did the right thing.
And like I told George before the show this morning, what just frost my balls, man. Let me take a look right now because I will not watch them. But I want to flip over from CBC to the Killer Tornadoes. They're back on that story again, which, you know, it's a big story. But where are those live cameras in Baghdad? Where are the live cameras all around Iraq? Now that the fighting is 99.9% over, where are they? Now that we have the satellite technology, we sure had the cameras there to see them pulling that statue down, that rigged photo op. How come we, and then you'll notice right after Baghdad fell, after everybody hightailed it and had their suitcases full of money we paid them, and we went from the blurry, awful video phone pictures and the night vision with a blurry green and where you couldn't see a damn thing, and all of a sudden we got the cameras that were in there, we got the crystal clear pictures with a satellite flipping back to New York. How come we don't have that now? All day, every day. We had 24-7 coverage nonstop. And the reason being, they don't want you to see what's really going on there. That's the real reason, okay? That's why you get very little footage. The only coverage you even get anymore is all these glamorous photo opportunities. Here come the soldiers back home. Here's the sailors back in San Diego. Here's their wives. Here's a cute little baby. And isn't it great to be back? And good job, well done. And that's it. I mean, in the history of the world, there has never been, and I include Nazi Germany, I include the communistas, anybody, there has never been a more brainwashed public than the American public is right now as I'm sitting my ass on this chair.
No.
Never. You talk about goose steppers, man, that's where those numbers come from. And when certain people go on the air and they try to, like, cover their tracks talking about, well, the conservatives, of course, we knew they'd support anything Bush does, but I'm a liberal who supported the war. I don't want to mention no names of certain talk show hosts.
Are you sure?
Yeah, people like that. Ought to be ashamed of himself. Ought to hang his head in shame. I get the spy reports. I find out what's going on. Who the hell is he kidding? Talk about trying to cover all bases. Man, oh, man, nobody's got an ass that big. He's trying to cover first, second, third base, and home plate with the same big, fat
rectum
ass. Although I do understand he gained a lot of weight since he went out there and became a superstar. Isn't that what we heard?
Yeah, and so.
1056 at 560 WQAM. Hey, I'll tell you, Brandy Shoes has been doing a lot of things right, obviously. That's why they've been in business for over 25 years. This year, 2003, marks their 25th anniversary in the business, selling shoes, putting great shoes on your feet in South Florida. And many, one of the many great things they do is offer you the best selection anywhere. They got all the top names in the shoe business. They got Rockports, Echoes, Mephisto, Timberland, Clarks, SAS, Florsheim. You want it? They got it. And they got a big range of sizes for you. What do you got? Huh? Don't you remember that song, Home on the Range?
We.
So men's sizes 6 to 15, women's sizes 5 to 12, from very narrow feet to very, very wide, flat ones. You know, fat people have big fat,
like
I told you before, they do. And don't forget their professional sales staff to make sure you get a perfect fit every time. And with over 40,000 pair of shoes in stock in their big, fat, 8,000-square-foot mega store, you can bet almost anybody's life in the world that they got exactly what you're looking for in stock. And every week they have a special sale for you, too, to save even more money. Brandy Shoes, 1290 North Federal Highway in Pompano Beach, open daily 9 to 9 every Sunday 10 to 5. And right now they continue for the second consecutive week this special sale. At Brandy's, you'll find a select group of women's style naturalizers on sale. Take 20 to 60% off the regular price. So stop in at Brandy's or visit them on their website at Brandy's Shoes. That's with a bunch of S's. Brandy'sShoes.com.
Live and local, this is 560. The radio is all yours now. QAM.
Get Bush. Back the mail.
Crazy. Hey, but that's how it goes.
Ozzy Osbourne's son, Jack, has been admitted to a Southern California rehab center after admitting he was hooked on alcohol and drugs. Hidden microphone captured this family meeting.
What do you want me to do about it, Jack? I mean, what happened? I mean, oh, I thought you were just fat and needed a haircut and possibly LASIK surgery. I didn't even know you had a problem.
I don't have a problem, Dad. I don't drink or smoke.
Why is he here, Sharon?
Ozzy, he has a problem, Ozzy.
Well, I know, Sharon. He's fat and he needs a haircut and possibly LASIK surgery.
Ozzy, he's a drunk and a pot smoker.
Hey, Dad, you drank and smoked when you were a kid. And look at you, you're fine.
That is true, Sharon. That's true.
Ozzy, I love you, Ozzy. But you're a brain dead, blithering idiot.
That's also true, Jack. That's true, Jack.
I only smoke pot because Kelly has a record deal.
Jack, listen, this is me. Anybody that likes Kelly singing must be on pot. There's no excuses, Jack.
Stop it, both of you. Jack, you stay here and get the help you need.
Sharon, why is there a dog turd in Jack's bed at the hospital? I mean, everywhere I go, Sharon, there's dog turds. I mean, they follow me. How many dogs do we bloody have anyway? I mean, it's just like, you know, that lady with the cigarette holder, Mirella Creville. I mean, it's not right, Sharon. I mean, no wonder he's a pothead. There's too many turds, Sharon. Driving me.
It's 11:01 at 560 WQM. The Mad Dog coming up at 1. Hank from Seminole Hollywood to Bingo at 3 o'clock.
Oy!
I wonder if Hank's going to let his audience spin the veal. Here's a fax that says Deer Hunter and Lifeguard. I don't want to read the comments on there because that's a giveaway, okay? We're trying not to give away the endings of too many of these movies. And you say...
I never saw Lifeguard. Deer Hunter, I guess. Sure, why not?
Lifeguard? Sam Elliott?
Never saw it.
How about Beaner Boys? You got anything to say about it?
Hola, this is Carlos.
Well,
that's about it.
That's all he has to say. Our poll question today is, what movie had the best or most shocking ending of all time? Which one movie? Some people I notice are trying to, like, give us more than one. Only one. For customer, okay? Keep it light. Sixth Sense has got, I guess I should read the list, shouldn't I?
Sure.
Well, instead of doing that, I'll just read the votes, because the list is, you know. Lifeguard, Deer Hunter, and Frailty we just put on there. They might not be on here yet, but they certainly will, because Eric says we want to make sure to get all of George's choices on there. 205 votes. Sixth Sense, 44. Usual Suspects, 28. Planet of the Apes, 20. Shawshank Redemption, 15. Last American Virgin, 11. No Way Out, 10. American Beauty, 10. Chinatown, 9. Arlington Road, 9. Fight Club, 6. The Hitcher's got 5. I'm proud of that. I'm ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
Tied with Citizen Kane and Primal Fear. As a matter of fact, all these suits will tell you that, or at least many of them will tell you, if it's not Raging Bull, they'll say that Citizen Kane was the greatest movie of all time.
Right.
I'll guarantee you The Hitcher is 50,000 times better than Citizen Kane.
Any of the movies on this list.
Primal Fear, 5. Boy and His Dog, 4. Ah, you moved ahead of me.
Sorry.
Jacob's Ladder, 4. Carrie, 4. Happiness, 3. Happiness, only 3. That's because nobody's seen it. Eraserhead, 2. Vanishing, The Vanishing Original Dutch Version, 2. World According to Garp has got 2. Donnie Darko, 2. Pi has got 1. Yeah, he puts a drill in his head at the end. Well, I can't resist telling you that. You'll still enjoy watching
right.
the movie, but I mean, it really doesn't make any difference. You see what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
The movie is so bizarre that it doesn't make any difference. Like when he shaves all his hair off because he's got this, like, growth above his ear on his head, and you really don't know what it is. And you never do find out what it is. And I guess in the end, when he puts the drill through his head, it doesn't really make any difference.
It's not a tumor.
Deliverance has got only 1? Oh, my God. Only 1 for Deliverance? Although it was a dream, but even so. Huh?
Right.
It still brings back some gruesome memories of the attempt. And you know what that reminds me of? The Michael Douglas movie we were talking about yesterday with the bathtub scene.
Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. You know, see, some of these movies, they never die. There's so many movies
right.
like that. What the hell was the movie that I've seen 50,000 times in the last 2 years? It's on every 5 minutes where the husband killed his student and drowned her, put the body in the lake.
Oh, Michelle Pfeiffer?
Right.
And Harrison Ford.
Right, with Harrison Ford.
Oh, man.
Never saw it.
Well, what is the name of that flick? But, I mean, how many times can you kill somebody and they just keep coming? They refuse to die. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some of those get to be a little, like, die already. Well, yeah, I'd like to get home before midnight. Just die already and get the movie over. And they're trying to get away, and all of a sudden, I mean, they've shot them 14 times. They've knocked their brains out with a goddamn sledgehammer, and somehow they still manage to climb on the back of the goddamn truck or the car that they're trying to get away in, and one last time they reach out, you know. Although, actually, The Hitcher, the ending, was kind of like that, too.
Kind of like that.
But.
In a good way.
Yeah, but didn't go on forever. What was the name of that flick? That Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford. That was pretty good. The only problem was it was on like every 5 minutes on TV. Deliverance only 1. Plunkett and McLean 1. Pie has got 1. Witness with the Prosecution 1. Easy Rider 1. Angel Heart, Live and Die in L.A. and Deer Hunter and Lifeguard just are going up. Or one
What
up.
Lies Beneath.
That's it. What Lies Beneath. But we're not putting that on there.
No.
And another movie, The Reincarnation of Peter Proud. The name of it just came into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
With Michael Sarrazin. And what's her name?
I forgot. It was
Jennifer O'Neill, is that it?
Sounds right.
Who was also in the Summer of 42. I believe that was Jennifer O'Neill. Reincarnation of Peter Proud. Did you see that?
I saw it.
And you don't agree with me? The ending
has
to be on there?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Reincarnation of Proud Peter. Peter Proud. Here's a call from Sunrise. Hello.
Hey, Neil. How you doing?
Okay.
A couple things before I get to my movie. Carlos brought up about IFC, and he thought that they cut movies. It's exactly,
Hola, this is
Carlos. It's exactly the opposite. IFC is one of the few channels that'll show NC-17 movies.
Right.
Yes. And they also show The Last Temptation of Christ, which, you know,
yes.
too controversial.
They're so anxious to be cutting edge on IFC that they will actually insert dirty scenes just to investigate you to watch it. Yeah, they'll put scenes
exactly
that weren't in
the
original flick.
I have to, just before, again, on what George said about Chinatown, that's a great ending, and I think it's getting votes. But he just waved through the Deer Hunter. The Deer Hunter, the ending of the movie, it's not a big deal. They're sitting around singing God Bless America, if you remember the movie, the survivors who
yeah.
came back from Vietnam.
If he wants me to sing God Bless America and pasties
yeah.
in a G-string up here, I'll do it.
They're in a bar sitting around singing God Bless America. I don't know what kind of shocking ending that is. So
I am not going to argue with any of these people anymore. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, that's the ending. So the movie I was going to suggest was, I don't know if you remember, Niels, from about 1975. It was a good movie. It wasn't a great movie. It was called The Day of the Locust with Donald Sutherland and Karen Black and Bernie.
Oh, yeah.
Sheridan.
Yeah.
The ending, I mean, there's a shocking thing that's never, I'm not going to get into too much detail, but a child is brutally killed, which is something you usually don't see on screen. And
mm-hmm.
It's very shocking when you first see the movie. I mean, it's...
Let's get that on there.
You're right. You don't usually see. So, in any event, that's all I had to say.
Thanks.
Take care.
See ya. Dress to Kill, another Michael Caine movie. You say... Angie Dickinson died in the first, 20 minutes of the movie.
Right.
I could never figure that out. Anytime you see a movie with famous actors or actresses, you get the feeling that at least they're gonna be alive till the middle of the movie.
At
surprise!
Least. No, couldn't afford it.
Not in that one. But I don't remember how that ended.
I do. It was just the typical. See, people are confusing just a good climatic ending with what we're asking, which is shock, surprise, something like that.
See, and they got Fatal Attraction listed too, which I don't know. It'll probably get some votes, but I still don't agree with that because it just refuses to end.
Same thing with Shawshank. Great movie, but if you didn't figure it out halfway through, then good luck to you.
Friday the 13th. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Hola, this is Carlos.
Just limit your comments to that, please.
Hola.
No, I like you better on...
Hola, this is Carlos.
Tape. Look at this. The Bush administration has quietly altered regulations for the nation's leading job training program to allow faith-based organizations to use sacred literature such as Bibles in their federally funded programs. Civil liberties activists say the new race rules blur the line between religion and government. The change made by the U.S. Labor Department last month could allow faith-based groups to use religious books as historical texts or as inspirational stories for job seekers, as long as organizations do not proselytize or conduct prayer sessions. I just can't stand it. And the public is sitting back. Great job at Baghdad, Georgie. Great job. Nice landing on that carrier, man. I didn't watch any of that, so I thought he was flying a helicopter.
Nope.
But it wasn't. He was in big-ass jets. Boy, you talk about macho. Thelma and Louise, this fact says.
Okay.
You seen it?
Mm-hmm.
You don't like it?
No, I liked it. I guess some people didn't see that coming, sure.
Hola.
Hola.
I'm not putting it on there. It's too lukewarm. There's just no enthusiasm.
Well, I got ripped because I was disagreeing with some of these people.
Well, I mean, but, you know, it's one thing to disagree, but to be so damn,
Well, I'll try to find a middle ground.
Here's one. Then again, here's two.
Three.
No Way Out, Kevin Costner. Is that on there?
It's on there.
Shattered, Tom Berenger and Bob Hoskins. Is that the one where Tom Berenger plays the Klansman guy?
I don't know. I never saw it.
Well, let me look in the book. Did you see it being a boy?
Hola. No.
Shattered. Can we say that on the air? Because the first syllable of it, I think, is the past tense of Schmidt. Shattered, here it is. Tom Berenger, Bob Hoskins, Greta Sacchi, whatever the hell her name
Scratchy.
Is. Joanne Whalley Kilmer, not Joanne Worley, Joanne Whalley Kilmer, people we never heard of. And Theodore Bakel. How do you like that?
Oy!
Big fat Theodore Bakel. When I was a rich man, yeah, whatever that is. You think he's
hopeful.
Dead? He must be dead. He was big and fat and Jewish. Based on Richard Neely's novel The Plastic Nightmare, Peterson's first American feature is as... a credible and gripping thriller using ambiguous clues and a complex flashback structure to draw us into the dark heart of an amnesiac maze. No, this is not the movie I was thinking of at all. Berenger plays a wealthy architect whose life is shattered when he and his wife plunge over a cliff in their car. Emerging from a coma, he has his face restructured, but his memory of the crash has been erased. When he tries to reassemble his life with the help of his wife, who was thrown clear, some pieces of the jigsaw just won't fit. And it goes on. Huh?
I have seen it.
Knowing only what Berenger knows, we share a sense of disorientation and vulnerability, while Peterson's sure-footed script and controlled direction eschew self-conscious homage for good old-fashioned adult entertainment. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. sounds like a watchable movie.
And the ending was good?
It was good. Not shocking. A good suspenseful movie.
Now, what kind of an answer was that?
Yes, sir. Right.
The poll is what movie had the best or most shocking ending? So I'm not putting it on there.
One that we could have put on there that we talked about yesterday was The Game.
Okay. I got it in the other room. Haven't seen it yet. I guess that'll be the one. That's the one with Michael Douglas?
Right.
I'll watch it today after lunch. I just won't eat that big of a lunch. I don't know. He just leaves me limp, you know? Leaves me limp. I think one of his problems is he's, like, overexposed, if you catch my drift. He's just been in two. No, seriously, I mean, any guy that makes 14 movies a year, it's just maybe a little bit too much. Just a little teeny tiny too much. I'll tell you who else I like, but she also has made too many movies, Sandra Bullock.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I like her a lot.
She's America's sweetheart.
But too many. Just cut it down to 10 a year, okay, honey? 11:13 at 560 WQM. Mother's Day is only days away, and the folks at Vermont Teddy Bear have been busy hand-making some great new bears for Ma. Your mom, wife, and grandma deserve something extra special this year. Show them just how much you appreciate them by sending an authentic Vermont Teddy Bear. She'll receive a beautiful little bear personalized just for her and delivered with a free card and gourmet candy and a colorful gift box. They've got great bears for you this year, like the Spa Ma Bear, the Mom's Biggest Fan Bear, or the new Queen for a Day Bear. And dads, please don't forget, it's your job to get mom a gift from the kids, and the mother and cup set is always a great idea. Add as many cups as you need with their names embroidered right on the little outfits. It's a lot more creative and thoughtful than flowers, and it'll last a lifetime. So call 1-800-829-BEAR, and a friendly bear counselor will help you tailor a bear just for her so she'll know you put some real thought into your gift this year. You won't believe the reaction you'll get every time. Ordering is quick and easy, too. Just one easy phone call, 1-800-829-BEAR, or if you like, shop online at VermontTeddyBear.com. This year, thank Mom for all she does for you with a Vermont Teddy Bear, 1-800-829-BEAR. Be sure and tell them that old Neil told you to call.
We're Sports Radio 560, QAM.
Yank it, baby.
Go, 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 go. Go authorities, he's the latest. You got another guy from the deck of ugly faces. Alibaba, Abazaba, Abracadabras. Oh, what the hell, I can't pronounce what his name is. You got a Shia thug from Saddam's club. Got him under arrest, we found his Iraqi butt. We're gonna find the rest, we won't quit until it's done. So come and see him run into the men in Saddam's club. It's in Saddam's club, you know you gotta run. Like Uday and Kuzi, that your brothers are our sons. Figure out a future day, capture more in the hunt. When we finally find them, they've been looking at our guns. But nothing in the world would really more please us than to get Saddam himself and to lock the thief up. Just watch how we move, the military slowly moving in. Before the terrorist thugs escape, it's pretty slim. Saddam's big players, they be on their spot. We finally throw the net on them and they're gonna be shot. We gotta hear criminals, cause there's nowhere to go. And the plan is to put Iraq's team in the chokehold. If you're smart, give it up, just admit your crime. And just be running with your hunting, just a matter of time. A military doing it fine and doing it slow. And Saddam, you are next to be on death row. We got a Shiite thug from Saddam's club. Got him under arrest, we found his Iraqi butt. We're gonna find the rest, we won't quit until it's done. So come and see him running near the men in Saddam's club.
We're still looking for him, I should point out to you. Haven't found him yet. Got a new tape. In fact, where the hell did I see it this morning in my National Post, which is a horrible newspaper? Where the hell did I see it? About Sodom may seek to foment a civil war. Beaten but dangerous, stolen millions could finance a long campaign of terror, it said. It says Iraq is ripe for a new kind of war. A month after the fall of Baghdad, Saddam is presenting his U.S. and British conquerors with a familiar but still deadly threat. Like Osama Yamama before him, Saddam may be battered and beaten and deep in hiding, but he remains free and is doing his best to stir up crap. Yesterday, an Australian newspaper produced what it claims is a two-day-old tape-recorded message from Saddam that calls on Iraqi citizens to launch a secret war against U.S. and British forces now occupying Iraq. See, if we had, like, live footage on there all the time, at least, you know, here and there throughout the day, we could see what's really going on. But I finally turned it off because I kept it on there for about 20 minutes, CNN. I was watching out of the corner of my eye. I didn't see no live scenes from Baghdad, from Nazaria, from Diarrhea, yeah. From any of these places.
Move along. Nothing to see.
Okay. Nothing going on that we need to know about. Anyway, this one fact from Peter on the Beach says, I like the part in Donnie Brasco where they were talking about the diamonds and she said they were, and they said they were fake or Fugazi. Now, that's what Johnny Depp said. Don't know if I spelled it right. I think you spelled it close. I was saying that for days, and after I saw it, Fugazi. Fake. Kind of like, I guess, and I was telling Georgia the other day, that's probably where that Fugazi pizza came from that we're always talking about. I mean, Pizza right. Lot's got it, and many other restaurants make it too. Fugazi pizza, which is not real pizza, because it's stuffed with onions and
right.
spicy stuff, you know, stuff.
Here, I thought it was just a kind of cheese.
No, it is not. It's Fugazi. Anyway, here's a fax that says, my choice is The Others with Nicole Kidman.
Good choice.
Is it?
Yeah, good movie.
Really?
Yep.
And good ending.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah, okay. The Others, got it down. For a discussion, it says, Seven with Brad Morgan Freeman and Kevin Spacey.
What's
in the box?
Yeah, I'm surprised they ended it that way. With all that melodrama.
But that wasn't the end of the movie.
No.
I mean, it was near the end. In fact, I don't even remember what the end of the movie was.
I do.
That was it.
That wasn't it. Was that it?
Yeah, the what's in the box.
It was part of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's like another few minutes, but that was right before...
Da-na-na! See, even these guys don't understand the poll.
Hola, this is Carlos.
Well, good. Nice knowing you. That's not the end of the movie. That's toward the end. I mean, if you're going to start doing that, then we're going to have to go back to the beginning and start all over again, you know? Because you're ripping a guy with a hot dog thing, with her the broad with the penis.
It's the ending scene of the movie. It's all in the same scene.
You said there's a few more minutes.
In that scene. That is the last scene of
the movie. Okay, well, put it on there for all the Brad Pitt fans out there, okay? Morgan Freeman is 50,000 times the actor that Brad Pitt will ever be. But if somebody says Seven, oh, yeah, that's the one with Brad Pitt in it.
Right.
And Kevin Spacey is 10,000 times, although she can't decide what she is this week. What's in the box?
It's his wife's head.
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't say that, did you? Well, I mean, you know, everybody has seen that movie. Nobody's going to go out and buy that. It's his wife's head's in the box. I want to say Brad Pitt, because I still have a soft spot in my heart from those earlier movies he made when he looked really good, even though he still can't act. Oh, I haven't watched California yet. It's sitting in the other room. Maybe I'll watch that this week.
Okay.
This weekend, boy, is going to be heavy, 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 intensive viewing, man. I got to catch up because I got so damn many in there. And they better be good.
Glenn Gary.
Pay it forward. Kevin Spacey, Helen Hunt, and the kid from Sixth Sense. Pay it forward?
No. Well, whatever. I'm not going to argue with these people.
Well, if you don't argue with these people, I will have a list of 60,000 movies on here.
All right. No, I say no.
I haven't seen all of these. Okay. Beaner Boy obviously didn't see it.
No,
Mark says, the strangest ending that I've seen, hasn't been mentioned yet, was in the movie Magnolia.
Didn't see it.
Your favorite, Tom Cruise.
What?
Tom Cruise is in
that. Well, Tom Cruise, I can take or leave. I mean, you know, anything new that he would make, I wouldn't go see. But some of his older movies were okay. Even some of the teeny bop movies he made were okay. What was the one he made with all the other punks in it, with Ralph Macchio and C. Thomas Howell? The Outsiders, was that it?
Yes.
That was okay. It had its moments. Wasn't Emilio Estevez in that?
They
the
were all
would
in
say?
It, yeah.
Everybody was in it. Everybody looked... Matt Dillon was in it, too. It
right.
makes me vomit. Matt Dillon is trying so hard his whole career to be a cross between James Dean and Marlon Brando. Anyway, it says that millions of frogs start raining from the sky. It doesn't get much more bizarre than that. So I guess we don't need to see Magnolia.
I saw that part. That was the end?
I don't know. A must-see movie that you'd probably enjoy, even though it stars that incestuous pedophile Woody Allen, is The Front from 76. It's about McCarthyism and the Hollywood blacklist, an era in our history which, thankfully, could never be repeated. Oh, wait, never mind, says Mark. A little sarcasm there. Anyway, Woody Allen plays a schmuck who poses as a front for a blacklisted TV writer. I saw that.
Me too.
That was good.
It was.
It has nothing to do with our poll today, but, huh? You didn't like that movie?
I did. I'm sorry for that sounded sarcastic. I liked it.
It says, definitely not a comedy, though there are humorous moments, and thankfully Woody did not write or direct it. I hate the bastard, but half of him, he was the perfect choice for this role. Yeah, I don't really care if he was incestuous or a pedophile. That doesn't really bother me, just the fact I can't stand looking at him. He just, oh.
He's a neb.
But it was a good movie, but he is a neb. He's so nerdy. I'm not into nerds. I just can't stand that whole genre of actors, the nerdy, nebbishy, wimpy, you know. If we want to see wimpy, we can check out some of the people at QAM.
Hola, this is Carlos.
See, can you imagine anything sounding more wimpy than that? This fact is shocking. Cats farm for skins in EU. And my response to that is EU. It is thought that tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of cat and dog skins are traded in Europe each year. Dog skins. Campaigners say that now is the time for national governments or the European Commission to act. Europe, it seems, is a magnet for cat and dog fur. Cat blankets, so the aficionados say, are good for rheumatism. Dog pelts are often labeled misleadingly and sold as the fur of some exotic, even mythical beast. The main exporter, of course, is also the main exporter of SARS. There's a little hint for you. China. God. 12 to 15 adult dogs needed to make a dog fur coat, up to 24 cats needed for cat fur coat. They're skinning pussies in China. Since the U.S. has banned the trade of cat and dog skins, the European market has expanded. A video seen by BBC correspondent Tim Frank shows one Belgian furrier displaying a blanket he says was made from cats farmed in Belgium. What's more, he says that stray cats and dogs are rounded up and skint. This would seem to contradict the assertion from the officials who help run the EU at the European Commission that there is no cat or dog farming inside the Union. Do you know who's going to be really psychotic about this?
PETA.
Oh. Can you even begin to imagine what those crazy bastards
PETA.
Are going to be saying?
Good. Maybe they can go to Europe and deal with them for a while.
No thanks. And sure as hell, don't let them up here.
Skinning cats in Canada?
Canada's plan to allow pot possession causes U.S. rift. This is a news story on this? This is still going on? No, this is yesterday. USA Today. Old news.
Sorry.
You know what? You know what? That's the message, okay, from Canada. Too bad. Don't tell us how to live. That's the message. We're not going to be as repressive. We're not going to live in a stone age. We'd rather be in the stoned age than the stone age. And that would be a good billboard campaign, you know? Can see full-page newspaper ads for decriminalization of marijuana. Would you rather live in the stoned age or the stone age? Of course, we don't have to ask George.
No. I'm already there.
5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Something strange with this log today, boy. Something really... Am I on the right page and the right day and the right the planet? I'm not really too sure at this point. But hey, it's our sales department. We want to welcome that... what's his name? Cliff? Chris?
Clint? Cliff?
Clint?
Mark? Peter?
Whatever his
Bill,
name is. The new sales guy that came from Boston for the sports sales. You won't be around long. Pelly, I hear you're a good guy. You had 10 years working for like a real company in a real market. Don't unpack your bags. And certainly, trust me when I tell you, because we've seen them come and go. People that came in here just screaming on the way out. Whatever you do, pal.
Don't buy a house.
Right, that's the best advice we can give you.
Don't buy a house.
Because you'll be real sorry.
I met him last night.
And?
I don't know. I was really wasted, so I have no memory.
Oh, yeah, we need a lot of stories about the QAM ratings party last night. Yeah, all these people sitting around celebrating stuff that most of them had absolutely nothing to do with. Of course, I guess I just couldn't be there to share the glory in the moment, you know?
Right. The group love.
The group love from my good friend Mo. Hey, listen, don't be knocking Mo that much. He's letting us do that keychain, which is pretty damn magnanimous, especially coming from him. Hey, if you're fat. With a F-A-T or a P-H-A-T, no matter how you spell it. Big rules of oozing nasty fat. You'd like to get looking decent and putting some real size clothing on. If you're diabetic or getting close to it, here's the answer. It's not stupid, dangerous pills. It's not some asinine diet that you could never follow in a million years. It's balance for life. And the reason it's so simple is because they take all the figuring out from the program. They do it all for you. There's no cooking, no shopping, no cleaning, no worries, just great results. The weight just melts off your body because it's all based on the Ozone diet, which, like I always tell you, is very complicated, but they take care of all the complicating part and figuring it out. And they deliver to your door in a black sack every day that's got three gourmet meals and two delicious snacks, and it's at your door by 6 o'clock at 8 a.m. They give you a menu every week, and you get to choose between two choices for each meal every day that you're on the show. And I want to mention again, all the food is fresh, delicious. Nothing is prepackaged. Nothing is frozen. Nothing has got preservatives. None of that crap. It's all fresh, ready for you to pop in a microwave and pop in your puss. So if you want to lose the weight finally at long last, get on some real size clothing and look and feel a hell of a lot better. Let Balance for Life do it for you. Call them today at 954-568-3229. 954-568-3229, or check them out on that wicked World Wide Web if you like it, balanceforlife.com.
This is Sports Radio 560, QAM.
Jesus Christ.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
I am no Howard David, decrepit and I'm ancient. All over my old face are blue and red is purple veins. I don't know why they hate me, or why they always rate me. It must be cause I got these blue and reddish purple veins.
A vein mark on my arm, like a Rand McNally map of Lackawatt. I got veins on my nose, and nobody knows that under my clothes I wear pantyhose. But that don't mean that I'm gay. If you think my arms are bad, you ought to see my legs. I might as well keep them smooth and shaved to show a little class the next time I'm raping it. I could go to a surgeon, but that gives me the shivers. I would not want to walk out looking like Joan Rivers. Where am I? I fired the beast, the fat little freak. I did him a favor. Now he can't afford to eat. The reason I dismissed that stinking fat bastard is because he wouldn't shut up and he can't play canasta. Hey, somebody talking over there. Nobody talks when I rap. I rap, then you talk. Hey, look at me. I'm hip, hip. I ain't no square. I'm a ding-dong Betty, man. I'm really dead. I fire anyone I want. I don't care. Especially if they make me flip my wig later smelly green hair. I get fired myself. It even happens to the greats. Westwood once said, you get out of here or else we break your legs. So now I sit by the pool. Life's as good as it gets. With my paladin cocktail, placing bets on the Jets. In paradise. Paradise. I don't kiss nobody's ass in paradise. I'll be slipping down the spookins when I get the chance. But the cleaners aren't ready with my lime green pants. How long does it take? Guilty calling complaint. It was just a little thought. So what? I left this day. You think that's funny? Want a knuckle sandwich, buddy? I can do what I want, because the management loves me.
Can I tell you something, Mo? Something you ought to know. For the longest time, I wanted you to be my home.
You ain't my type, pal. Now answer me. Pal, no. What are you doing?
I won't take no for an answer.
Get out of here. What is... Not you.
Give
it out of
here. Get out
of here. Get out of here.
Hola, this is Carlos.
Okay, great. 5670560, #560 on the AT&T and Verizon line, 27 till noon at QAM. Rich man's wife, somebody says, and you say...
Never saw it.
Diener see it?
I think Halle Berry's in it, though.
So what the hell is that, Bruce?
Nothing.
I don't know. I'm just not putting every damn movie that was ever made on here just because, I mean, there's no explanation on it. There's no nothing, you know. Give us a little more meat than that. Now, is this, do you believe this is for real? Because I didn't see The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. And here's why. Not only does it qualify and you know, for the poll and the question, but it was huge. Everyone saw it. Very popular. Rave reviews. Yada, yada.
301 votes, Sixth Sense is way ahead, 63 votes. Usual Suspects, 40. The best or most shocking ending of any movie ever. Planet of the Apes, 30. Shawshank Redemption, 23. No Way Out has got 14. Chinatown, 13. Last American Virgin, 12. Fight Club, 12. American Beauty, 12. Arlington Road, 11. Happiness, 7. Aha! Primal Fear, 7. The Hitcher, 7, Boy and His Dog, 6, Carrie, 5, Citizen Kane, 5, and Small Potatoes after that. I will bet your life on it that if everybody in this audience would have seen Happiness, it would have 2 million votes right now. It would have 40 trillion votes right now if everybody had seen that movie. But how many people saw it? I never heard of it until this week.
Me either.
So, again, the guy called yesterday. I thanked him once, but I want to thank him again because it's just so... It's like no other movie you've ever seen. Believe me when I tell you. And then, of course, the ending scene, and you have to have June Allison comes personal to your door when you're watching.
I'll put a towel down. Prepared.
Huh?
I'll put a towel down.
I'm telling you, if you don't roar hysterically in the last scene, then you're a bigger dunderhead than anybody ever thought you were. Here's Fort Lauderdale. Hello.
Hey, Neil.
Yes, sir.
How you doing? I got one for you, Paul.
Okay.
It's kind of a new movie, just still playing, Identity. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, it's awesome. It's a real climatic movie. Comes to an end. A real shocking end. It's a great movie.
Who's in it?
John Cusack. And Ray, what's his name? Is it Faith Lolita?
Ray Liotta, yeah.
Yeah, Ray Liotta. It's a really good movie with an awesome, shocking ending. Not too many people will put it on there because it's still out. You know what I mean?
Well, that's okay. Maybe they'll go out and watch it. Thanks a lot, pal.
All right. You're
see
me.
Identity. Got it down?
Got it.
We got it down. 5670560, #560 on the AT&T line. Don't forget to join our good, close, personal friend, Joe Costello, who used to be a really good guy till he got married. Join Joe from noon to 2 today at the Singular Wireless Store located at 6311 North Andrews Avenue in Cypress Creek. Stop by. We got some fairly decent stuff to give away, actually. Some free Marlin tickets, which, you know, big deal, to tonight's game with the Giants. And you can register to win a trip for two to the Major League All-Star Game this summer and a Skybox Party for Two at PP Park. So go say hi to Joe and ask him what's wrong with that show. 5670560. Here's a call from Jacksonville. Hello.
Neil.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Great.
I haven't called you in years, but living up here in Jacksonville now. I did get out of Dade County, but now I don't know if I'm better or worse for it up here, down here.
No comment about Duval County, man. The less said, the better.
They never met a right wing to the right of Attila. They embrace. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, when you look on the map and you realize it's just a part of Aintree, it's just part of Georgia.
It is. It's South Georgia is what it mm-hmm. is. Anyway, I've got a movie that I think you should go out and rent or buy if you haven't seen it yet. It's one of the oldies, but it's got an unbelievable ending. Unbelievable ending. I said that twice, like Mike Renner.
Unbelievable. Right. Unbelievable.
It's Joe with Peter Boyle and Susan Sarandon's debut.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
I never heard of it.
Did you like it, George?
Very good.
Yeah. Just the ending just blows you away. It knocks your socks off.
Unbelievable.
It's old 70s style kind of thing, like Easy Rider kind of a flavor.
Right.
I liked it.
He has a bar scene, which is like an Archie Bunker type of thing. That's the absolute funniest part of any movie. You'll pee your pants three times just watching that one scene and rewinding it and watching it over and over. It's hysterical.
Now, have you seen Happiness?
No, I'm going to get it, though. I'm going to get it since you've been talking about it.
Because I didn't see Joe, so I can't compare. But, I mean, if the ending in Happiness isn't the funniest ending you've ever seen, then I'd be really shocked.
Well, I'm going to see it. But Joe's not a funny ending, I'll tell you. It's not. It's just an ironic, like, eerie ending. It's not funny at all, in fact. It would be the opposite. It's sad, but it's awesome. You've got to see it, Neil.
Okay.
It's our era.
I'll grab it this afternoon. I'll go out and get it right now.
December of 42. It's what we like.
Okay.
And come up to Jacksonville sometime.
No, thanks.
They love you out here.
Have a great life, Pally.
No. You too.
I'm here where I'm safe. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's all go up to Jack's, as they
Let's
call it.
Not and say we did. We can go up there and see Steve Nichol. Hey, yeah. I wonder if he's still up there, huh? I wonder if he's traded out the whole marketplace yet, huh? He kind of moves around, just like most of those radio programming people. They move around from town to town, seeing who they can get down.
Like gypsies.
Right, exactly. Like the gypsies, like the travelers.
Right.
Travelers.
Irish travelers.
5670560, especially the ones from Texas. 6 cents has got 69 votes. I just thought I'd mention that. You can look and verify. I'm not making that up. 69.
See, he said it again just on purpose.
Yeah, I said it. 69. I'll say it again. Usual Suspects, 41. Planet of the Apes, 32. Shawshank, 23. Nobody else has got 20 yet. Happiness has got 8. Happiness has 8.
Oh!
You know, you really should get it today. You shouldn't wait.
Okay.
I mean, how much can it cost? In fact, Beaner Boy said
that.
Now that Beaner Boy's making the big bucks, he said he'll go out.
Hola, this is Carlos.
And he'll buy it for you. You got to see it. You must, and you'll sit there and you'll watch and you'll think, this is really strange. I can't describe it to you. It's strange, it's depressing, it's hysterically funny, it's the biggest bunch of sad sack losers. Believe me, a lot of the people in our audience would appreciate seeing this. It'll make them feel a lot better about their lives. And like I said about the other movie, about the Requiem for a Dream,
mm-hmm.
The name of the movie definitely should be So You Think You Got Troubles? Am I right?
Right?
That should be at least a subtitle for that movie. Because no matter how screwed up your life is, when you finish watching that, you'll feel like you've got life licked, man. You'll be licking it. You'll feel like you're on top of the world.
But don't lick that mirror.
Oh, man. 20 till noon at 560 WQAM. You know, Mom has always been there for us. So this Mother's Day, she deserves the softest gift for the hardest job. This year, pamper her with a Pajamagram. She'll receive the most luxurious pajamas, along with free lavender bath tea, a gift card, and a Do Not Disturb sign, all developed in a keepsake hat box. To send a Pajamagram gift, shop online at Pajamagram.com or call their toll-free number, 1-800-GIVE-PJs, and they'll help you choose the perfect pair. They've got brands she knows and loves like Nick and Nora, Crabtree and Evelyn, and Naturi, made from premium fabrics like Egyptian cotton and fine silk and sizes to fit any mom, from teeny and tiny to big and gigantic. Plus, they have gowns, robes, slippers, and great spa products as well. sending a pajamagram is a creative way to thank her, and it's delivered right to her door. She'll absolutely love it. It's a gift you know that she's going to use and appreciate. They're the sister company of Vermont Teddy Bear, so you know you can trust their quality and on-time delivery, and they're good people to do business with. This Mother's Day, send Mom the softest gift for the hardest job. Just visit pajamagram or .com. What is it? Pajamagram.com. Or call them toll-free at 1-800-GIVE-PJs. That's pajamagram.com. But do it today, because time is running out.
Live and local. We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Mother's love, think I'm calling up my mom this Mother's Day. Seems without her I've been nowhere. Once I broke her favorite vase, she yelled back when Dad divorced her, but she helped me pay my rent. Remember Mother's Day, Mother's Day. Walk in on me, read and Playboy, a surprise look on her face. It was fate, let me say. Call her now. It was Mom's car that I told her from my drinking. Thank you, Mama. You bailed me out. Call her now. The photographs fed me till I was 15. Maybe that's why I'm screwed up now.
It's 11:45. This is kind of cute. Lady walks into the drugstore and asks the druggist for some arsenic. The druggist asks, ma'am, what do you want with arsenic? The lady says, to kill my husband. I can't sell you any for that reason, says the druggist. Lady then reaches into her purse and pulls out a photo of a man and woman in a compromising position. The man is her husband, and the lady is the druggist's wife, and shows the picture to the druggist. He looks at the photo and says, oh, I didn't know you had a prescription. That's kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a fact that says Seven had two commercial endings. Wow. How about Soylent Green, a.k.a. Boca Burgers? Should we put Soylent Green on it?
Sure, why not?
Well, somebody mentioned that before, but only one per customer. Soylent Green, it's on there. This fact says Seven had two commercial endings. The short version showed him trying to make up his mind, and the screen fades to gray, and a shot is heard, roll credits. The long version shows the shooting, him being placed in a patrol car.
That's what I saw.
Oh, that's what I always see. Yeah, I guess we put it on there. Mm-hmm. I guess it that's deserves awesome. To be on there because it's all part of the you know, he sees
right.
the what's in the box, and then he finally goes up and he's got to choose: is he going to shoot him? Is he going to like? Oh, and he shoots him, by the way.
You bastard!
Hey, listen, you know what's the point of talking about movie endings if you can't spoil at least a couple?
Right.
All right.
At least he did that. That was good. Everyone was hoping he would.
Oh yeah, come on, Brad, butch up,
come
sweetheart.
On, do it. All right.
Yeah, he's thinking about it. He's like right on the edge. He was okay in that movie except for the one scene, what's in the box. Why did they do that? Why did they leave that in? I mean, you know the amount of effort that it takes to make a movie?
Yeah.
Well, why, then the number of retakes they do on so many of the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they leave that in when it's so bad?
It's the director's fault.
What's in the box? I mean, you know. And, of course, he had no inkling. That's the point. He didn't have any idea what was in the box, did he?
No.
And then, of course, when the guy started giving him, like, hints, at that point he got a little bit concerned. Like maybe his wife's head was in a box. Oh, shouldn't have said that. Here's a call from Fort Lauderdale. Hello.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay. I'll tell you a movie I've seen many times, and it's just unbelievable. Everybody I turn on to just loves it. It's called Jacob's Ladder. Did you ever hear of it?
I think I saw that. What's it about?
Unbelievable. And about a guy, a Vietnam War, and it flashes back, and the ending is just unbelievable. You have to get it if you haven't seen it.
Damn, it sounds so familiar. I'm pretty
Robbins,
sure I...
Timothy Robbins is in it.
Oh, it's a Timothy Robbins movie?
It's just phenomenal. I mean, you don't know whether it's going on now or if it's flashbacks. It's unbelievable.
Okay, we got it down.
Yeah, try to get that. Jacob's Ladder.
Thanks.
Okay.
Lynn's, who is it? Lynn? Adrian Lynn, director. Lynn's chilling film bombed in the States. How do you like that?
Yeah.
probably because of its origins in the murkier side of the now-done-to-death Vietnam War. But messy and maddening, though some of it is, Jacob's Ladder is truly a scary film, which is never simply a war or horror vehicle. Jacob Singer Robbins is a man whose life totters continually between past, present, and future, between reality and terrifying illusion brought on by his experiences in Vietnam, where his unit was dosed with a vicious derivative of LSD to improve its killing power. Where the problem arises that this scenario is the only one alternative in the life of a man variously shown as divorced, studying and cohabiting, married and prosperous with children, or dead on a Vietnam field hospital table. But Lin's giddying, unsettling direction conjures up moments of horrifying hallucinogenic power from the bad trip hell of this protagonist. That's not, I think I've seen it.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Well, it's on the list for anybody who did. We're asking today which movie had the best or the most shocking ending. We're movie intensive this week. I have no idea why, but it's a good way to get away from all this other depressing crap that's been going on. Although, don't let me forget this one article by Matthew Engel in the British paper in The Guardian, up to his usual stunts, because I think he's got his thumb right on it. In other words, the essence of it is I think we're screwed. Also, you might want to take a peek at our website today and see our deck of cards. This is great. Where did this come from? I don't even know which website this came from, Beaner Boy. The deck of cards?
I can't pronounce it.
Really?
It's some rotten, I can't pronounce it.
Rotten to the core, I think it said. I think they were, don't take it personal, but they might have been talking about you.
Hola, this is Carlos.
Yeah, rotten to the core. Wanted for looting Social Security trust funds, taking the country to war under false pretense, ripping up the safety net, eviscerating democracy, strangling civil rights, assaulting the New Deal, being a partisan hack, peddling economic snake oil, perverting the Fourth Estate. And then we got our own deck of cards here, which you can flip through on our website. There's Dick Cheney. He's the ace of clubs. Karl Rove, Donald Rumsfeld, George Bush. Or no, ace of spades, Cheney. Bush is the ace of clubs. Andy Card. He's a card. Ari Fleischer, John Ashcroft. Mitch Daniels, who, by the way, is resigning because, well, we got that story on there, too. Mitch Daniels, a little insider training scandal there. Oh, but he wants to run for governor. Right. Lynn Cheney, Karen Hughes, Tom DeLay, Condoleezza, Richard Pearl, they're all in there. It's great. It's a great thing to take a puke at. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. 6 cents 74, usual suspects 43. Planet of the Apes, 33, Shawshank, 24. I'll tell you, Six Sense is, I guess I'm going to have to get that, too. Maybe I'm the only person that hasn't seen that.
Maybe.
Is it something I would like?
It's okay. It's Bruce Willis. Ooh, I forgot to tell you.
Oh,
Bruce Willis.
No!
I'm sorry. Like I said.
Oh, no.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
You're telling me that it's like 9 minutes to lunch.
Roy!
Oh, my God. And you're telling me Bruce Willis is in it?
Yeah.
And it's got 75 votes?
Yeah.
But then again, I'm trying to keep in mind the question. I'm lecturing the audience. Keep your eye on it. What movie had the best or most shocking ending? That doesn't mean it was the best movie of this bunch, but it had the best ending. In fact, I'm hearing the rumor is that once Sixth Sense ended, everybody in the audience together simultaneously said, oh, thank God it's over. They were delighted that it was over. But, and you're telling me the ending was great.
The movie was fine. Somebody ruined it for me, so I couldn't really enjoy it as much as everyone is supposed to.
Well, we're not going to do that. Not on that one, because obviously too many people seen it. We don't want to piss anybody off yet. 5670560. Here's a lady in Fort Lauderdale. Hello.
Hello.
Yes,
hey,
ma'am.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? I
have
the name of the movie that you were looking for before for Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford. What Lies Beneath.
I bet you that was the name of it. What Lies Beneath.
Yep. It was where she was in the tub and drowning and
right.
everything. And yeah, and another
it was
movie.
It was pretty good, but it became. I think it was. He escaped her about 45 times in the last couple minutes of the movie.
Yeah, and then the crazy lady came back, and they went in a truck, and then the lady came back and saved her and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Another movie that I like is The Others. That's a really whacked out movie.
It's on there.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
See you. I bet you that movie, Beaner Boy, is called What Lies Beneath.
You think?
I think that might be it.
Well,
I saw it like about 700 times. It's one of those that when it comes on, and it was on all the whatever the movie channels, when it comes on there and I happen to flip onto it, I just watch it. I don't know. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, just leave it on. That's the same thing. I've seen it like 15 times, too.
Yeah, no, seriously, there are just some movies that are riveting enough or they have some, I don't know, you watch it and it just hits you in a certain way, and so if you happen to like, I'm not saying you go out to a movie to watch it again and pay to see it, but if it just happens to pop up, on, oh my God, don't forget, where's that list? Oh, did I throw the list away? What an idiot. Am I an idiot or what? I guess I am. I'm a moron.
Yes.
Well, I admit at least. Don't forget the international, independent film channel, IFC. Next Wednesday, 10 p.m. is the first viewing. And somebody had sent me that whole schedule, and I schmidt-canned it. God.
We can get it again.
We can get it again. You're right. I still feel bad. You got to see it, folks. Requiem for a Dream. Ellen Burstyn, she is so great in there. And the lovely Jared Leto. And who else is in it?
Jennifer Connelly.
And Jennifer Connelly. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Jennifer Connelly's in there. I shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
I was concerned a little bit more about Jared, but you can understand why.
Yeah.
Especially after you faxed me that, you emailed me that big naked picture yesterday. Huh? He looks pretty good to me, I'll tell you that. Now, he's a good actor, though. He really is.
Yeah, he is.
And he does look good. I mean, is there something really wrong with that? Like Jennifer Connelly, she's a great actress.
Yes,
she's excellent.
Is.
And she also happens to look pretty damn good.
Damn good.
So is there something wrong with that? I don't think so. I mean, you know.
There ought to be a law.
Yeah, you should only have, you shouldn't have them in. I've always said that. Let's see, I thought I would do that. Okay, don't get all sensitive again, sweetheart. I'm just checking my email here. Don't get the, let's not turn the clock. Oh, there's Jared. I just clicked it off. Damn it. I just saw that his forehead and his hairline, receding hairline, Jared. Get him Chuck Alfieri's phone number. Receding hairline on Jared Leto. 567-0560, pound 560 on the AT&T line. Here's Pembroke Pines. Hello.
Hey, Neil.
Yes, sir.
Hey, nice to talk to you. I'm not sure if anybody talked about this movie called American History X with Ed Norton.
It was brought up earlier today.
Okay. I'm sorry. I might not have been.
It's all right.
At that time.
We didn't put it on there, but I'm trying to think of the reason why.
Because it doesn't deserve to be.
Oh. Yeah, Beaner Boy says no way. He said it wasn't the
movie.
Ending.
Very, very good movie.
He said an excellent movie, but the ending is
done. The ending is a little different. You didn't expect the ending. Yeah.
I think we'll put it on there because these two bozos, these two beaners, you know, America, what is it, American History X?
Yeah, Ed Norton, Stacey Keach.
Okay, you got it, man. It's on
there.
All
right, thanks. Thank you.
Get it on there, beaner boy. Don't give us no lip. Just get a hold of Eric and tell him.
Hola, this is Carlos.
And then we'll see what happens from there. American History X. Is that a recent movie?
6 years, maybe.
Oh. Well, let's see. The movie I watched, Gattaca, last night with Ethan Hawke. That was 6 years. And Uma Thurman and Ema Sumac. 11:56 at 560 WQM. Let me tell you, Mother's Day is only Friday, Saturday, 3 days away. So you better get with it. If Mom's coming to visit, you certainly don't want to sleep on a lumpy, worn-out mattress. Dynal Mattress has got the perfect mattress for Mom. If it's sagging, lumpy, or just worn out, then call our good buddies at Dynal Mattress at 1-800-MATTRES. Dynal Mattress has got the best mattresses made in the world. They got Serta, Sealy, King, Coil, Simmons. They don't carry any crap, no off-brands. You certainly don't want Mom sleeping on something that you wouldn't, so don't put it off one more minute. Nothing has a bigger impact on the way you feel every day than getting a great night's sleep. Dynal Mattress gets more repeat and referral customers than anybody in the world because they treat you great. Once you buy a mattress from Dynal Mattress, you realize what a piece of cake it is. You'll never go back to schlepping around town, wasting time, gas, and lots of money helping somebody pay for their big overhead in a showroom again. And don't forget, when you buy a mattress from Dynal Mattress, they'll set up the brand new one and take away your nasty, crappy, embarrassing old bedding for free. That's correct. Dynal Mattress sets up the new one, takes away the old for free. So this Mother's Day, have Mommy sleeping like a baby on her brand new bed from Dynal Mattress. Gift certificates available in all denominations, too. So call right now, toll-free, 1-800-MATTRES. That's 1-800-MATTRESS for Dynal Mattress, the smart way to get you a great night's sleep.
And local, this is Sports Radio 560, QAM.
This is Dick Cheney. I like to relax by having Mary Magdalene massage my balls while listening to the Neil Rogers 12 to 1 hour.
Hello, this is Attorney General John Ashcroft. In my hand, I'm holding the original copy of the United States Constitution. Now, this coveted parchment is the foundation of your democracy.
I prefer Cottonelle, but this will have to do.
Thank you.
Club Noon at 560 WQM. Up to his usual stunts, writes Matthew Engel in The Guardian. This was in Tuesday, so it's like 2 days ago. Sorry about that. He says, you have to hand it to the guy. He swooped onto the flight deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln last week, the most spectacular entrance since the last Broadway production of Hello, Dolly, and did he look in his bomber jacket quite fantastically butch. As Lincoln himself said at Gettysburg, wrongly that time, no one will remember a word the president said. But they'll remember the scene and his smile and the cheering soldiery and his bomber jacket and believe that George W. Bush had just defeated all those pesky Iraqis single-handedly. Of course, it's remotely possible that the American electorate will decide that there's some political stunts so blatantly manipulative that they're actually intolerable, but we can probably rule that one out. The use of troops as a political backdrop and claque is a fascinating one. There are presumably among the $1.4 million members of the U.S. Armed Forces people who take the not wholly uncommon view that Bush is a dangerous dolt and a usurper at that. What happens if one of them decides he or she doesn't want to cheer their commander-in-chief? Do they face court-martial? Perhaps the problem never arose because when you have spent the last 10 months on an aircraft carrier, any visitor is welcome. And in this case, Bush was telling the troops they had achieved their objective and could go home. One day they may even find out what that objective was. This was, after all, the world's first reverse war. The outcome was predetermined. The reason for it will be sorted out later. The contrast between this astonishing piece of political theater televised around the planet and another event a couple of days later is so staggering it is pathetic to mention them in the same column. You know pathetic?
No, please.
Anticlimactic.
Ah.
I looked it up. Nonetheless, it should be reported that the 9 Democratic politicians who have announced they want to challenge the president next year gathered at a college in South Carolina and debated with each other. The debate was sponsored by the ABC TV network, but it might as well have been the Yale Skull and Bones Club or the Masons for all the publicity it got. It was held at 9 p.m. on Saturday. Despite the ABC connection, only one minor local cable channel, Washington, showed it live. A fifth of the network's 250 affiliates broadcasted eventually, mostly straddling midnight. The political junkies channel, C-SPAN, showed reruns on Sunday. The 9 candidates can be divided into 3 equal groups. There are 3 no-hope doves, the former Senator Carol Moseley Braun, the Congressman Dennis Kucinich, and the activist Reverend Al Sharpton. There are 3 rather elderly hawks, Congressman Dick Ebhardt, who does have one idea, a health plan, Senator Joe Lieberman, so pro-war he makes Bush look like Mahatma Gandhi, and Senator Bob Graham, whose shtick is that we're all doomed by terrorism and Bush is asleep on the job. Then there are at least 3 who are making, if not waves, at least a few ripples, Senators John Kerry of Massachusetts and John Edwards of North Carolina, and Howard Dean, the peace-stick doctor and ex-governor of Vermont. Dean has moved into the front row by waging a tireless and lucid campaign against the war, which is playing well with party activists. However, he stepped over the edge before the debate by sounding too unenthusiastic not merely about the war, but about American strength in general and even about the fall of Sodom. So he's now on the defensive against Kerry. Dean was modestly impressive, actually, but someone I know who had lunch with him said it was like 90 minutes in the surgery. The man was humorless and convinced he knew everything. The trouble with the frontrunners, Kerry and Edwards, is that they're just running on their CVs. Kerry's full name sounds like John Kerry, the Vietnam veteran. He never lets anyone forget it for a second. He's collared all the best advisors, so many that he no longer seems to know what he thinks. Edwards, less experienced, more personable, is a poor southern boy who got rich and won't let anybody forget that either. God, it was depressing. William Sapphire of the New York Times, no friend of Democrats, yesterday called it a dead heat between Lieberman and Gebhardt. The Washington Post gave it to Lieberman. I thought that the only one of the 9 who sounded lucid and compelling was Sharpton, generally held to be a rogue. It's probably lucky hardly anybody watched. The real winner by a mile was the stuntman in the bomber jacket. There you go, boys and girls. A little bedtime story to start out the noon hour. Let's see, here's the facts. I just saw Donnie Brasco. It's a good film, but I found this review about the film. Didn't know if the real story behind this film. It's a true story, yes. I'm reading this. It says, the end of the film would definitely have been more enjoyable if I hadn't known the real story. Lefty's death in the movie was based on the real-life end of Sonny Black. Lefty Guns Ruggiero never talked. He upheld his twisted code of honor even when the friends offered to keep him out of prison. He served 10 years thanks to Pistone's testimony. And evidently he didn't get whacked.
Oh, that's a relief.
Don't we feel better? Jacob's Ladder, it says, great ending, great movie. It's worth seeing. It says Lowell in Palm Beach Gardens. Thank you, Lowell. Here's one that says, you ever done a segment on the subject, Osama bin Laden and Bush, one members at the same time in the Carlisle group? Yeah, many, many times, okay? Thank you, Ben and Coral Springs. We've had the Carlisle group inside out, upside down. We've had 80. How many articles do we have just this last week?
About 30, man.
On our website. It says your email address link failed yesterday. Well, Ben, we don't do email on the show, and we've been begging for months and months, please, please disable that link so that they know to go to our, you know, our regular stuff.
No.
We don't do email. They just, one of them things, they won't do it because it's QAM, you know. It was a miracle we got them to change one little thing on their website. Well, screw them. 56705, and then he's got more stuff here about the Carlisle Group. Thank you, Ben, we're on to it. Here's one that says, I can't believe that no one has mentioned Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. When Slim Pickens manages to connect the wires and ride a thermonuclear weapon down to a blinding finish from the bomb bay of his damaged B-52, laughing turns to shock and then back to laughing. As we'll meet again, plays softly, the entire planet is enveloped in a nuclear Armageddon and the laughing turns back into a vague feeling of tension as we realize we've just seen a plausible scenario for the end of the world. Should we put that on there, Dr. Strangelove?
Sure, why not?
It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Sellers was great.
Sure.
Although kind of a strange guy. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T line. Here's a call from Miami. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm on. Oh, great. I was going to say Star Wars. You know, he's your father, Luke, and all that. Is that on there yet?
No.
Oh, well, Star Wars for sure. I'd like to see Bush and Dukakis together in their little army outfits. That would be cute.
That would be cute.
And, also, it's National, Teen Pregnancy Prevention Week, so bang a bopper in the butt. That's all I got.
Are you sure that's all he's got?
That's all he's got. He's thinking about it. He's dreaming about it. Something about it.
Rectum.
Probably something he heard from you.
Sure,
or he sent me, thank you, Jerry, Bonita Springs. See, Dan, he's apologetic, seeming like a chronic factor. Mm-hmm. Don't apologize. I Schmidt canned it. I'm the one who should be apologizing, but I won't.
Jerry's a great American.
Here's the IFC schedule for Requiem for a Dream. I'll keep it here, and then as the days approach, I'll go through it again. I don't want to go through the whole thing right now. Wednesday, next Wednesday, 10 p.m. on the Independent Film Channel, Requiem for a Dream. If you don't watch it, if you haven't seen it, you're really missing out. I'll tell you that right now, okay? Tape it, do something with it. You'll love it. Yeah, Keith, let's hear more of that music. I love the music. It's just...
It's integral.
And, of course, Sarah Goldfarb, I mean, she is what South Florida's all about.
Yeah.
With her lawn chair. Sarah.
Oi!
She's going to be on television, Sarah. And the one thing about that movie is just it's like winding up an alarm clock.
Right.
You just keep winding and winding and just getting... And just every time you think it can't get any more intense.
Right.
And then when she's at the doctor the last time and he's got the voice that sounds like helium because she's so spaced mm-hmm. out, it's just great.
It's like going down a hill without any brakes. You just keep going faster and faster and you can't stop. Anything.
That's right. That's right. Okay, that's enough. Here's Miami. Hello.
Hi, Neil.
Yes, sir.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Listen, here's a couple of movies for you. One called Tomorrow. It's an old Faulkner story, very dark.
What did he say?
He said it's an old William Faulkner story.
Oh.
And another one is The Scottsboro Boys.
Okay.
Not complimentary to the South.
Oh, excellent good.
Movies.
Sounds like my kind of movie.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
The Scottsboro Story?
The Scottsboro Boys.
Oh, boys.
Did you ever hear of the musician John Hammond?
No.
His father was a wealthy dude and explored the South. And
but I heard he liked to play the organ.
Yeah, he played his organ. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. I got them both down. Thanks a lot. Tomorrow and Scottsboro Boys. Got them on there now?
We got them.
I mean, I don't know how many people saw some of these. What the hell do I know?
I never
Let's
saw
see,
them.
How's happiness doing? Eight. Still, you know, I'm sorry. I just, I'm jumping out the window right now.
Well, think of the service you're doing. No one saw it, obviously, and now they will.
You know, and maybe it's only me. Maybe you'll watch it and say, you know, that was cute, but what's the big deal? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I mean, there's so many things that you'll see in that last scene, and you'll say, you'll just go to pieces, I'm telling you. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T line. Here's West Palm Beach. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Neil.
How you doing?
Hey, first time caller.
All right.
Split time between here and Arizona. And whenever I'm down here, of course, I discovered you about, oh, I don't know, 3-4 years ago sitting on the beach, and it just cracks my ass up when I'm sitting down there listening to you on the beach. And couple of great things, just a couple of quick stories. I happened to be listening to you when that turkey from Fox, what's her name, Heather?
Heather, yeah, that bitch, yeah.
When she called and you laid into her, I was jumping mm-hmm. around the sand like my feet were on fire. I was laughing. Right,
yeah, you'll notice, by the way, that our great local media in South Florida, well, I don't know where you were, how long you were here at the time, but that story with Fox News trying to get my ass fired and then leaning on that Cole Condoleezza thing, that didn't get one word of news in the Sun Sentinel and the Herald and in any publication, in the Weekly Reader, nothing and stuff. But it wasn't important. It was a national story, didn't get one word. But Mr. Ego goes on there for this meaningless board that he's involved in there, Steve Kane, and we got front page stories. Of course, he's right-wing, and I'm one of those old-fashioned liberals, so I'm out.
You know, that was one of the reasons I called, because when I left here last year, you were playing all the Condoleezza and all that stuff, and I was just cracking up over it. We left in December and came back mid-April.
Won't hear that no more.
I was wondering, what did Colin Pollock Jr. drop the hammer on you guys or something? Or what?
We got the hammer dropped all right.
No kidding.
Dropped the hammer right on his head.
But anyway, I didn't see Mississippi burning, but perhaps we could do a rewrite and call it Tallahassee burning.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having a cow be the culprit, we could have maybe like the state's head drug kingpin, drug-infested daughter home from rehab on a weekend furlough, and she drops her hot crack pipe and lights the whole damn city on fire, and there you go.
There you go. In fact, I think we're writing a story as you speak.
Oh, and by the way, great job, and you know what? You make my blood boil with some of this crap about the Patriot Act and all this other stuff, and just keep it up. We've got to get this country's ass on fire and get moving here. But
I got good news for you. After the break, listen carefully. You'll hear the latest version of Condoleezza, okay?
I'll be on there.
Okay, hang
Thanks,
on.
Neil.
I mean, have a great day. And hang on or hang up. 12 minutes past noon at 560 WQM. You know, talk is cheap, but it's easy to throw on a lot of appealing low numbers. But when it comes right down to it, what percentage can you really get refinanced at? Is it 5%? Is it 4%? How about 2.45% with Financial Group? With interest rates of 2.45%, it's really your best bet, and it's rock solid. Call Financial Group now at 1-800-940-LEND. That's Financial Group toll-free at 1-800-940-LEND. Interest rates are at all-time low, so why not refinance your home or buy a new home and take advantage of a sure thing? And that's 2.45% financing with Financial Group. Here's what it'll do to your monthly payments. If you have a $200,000 loan, you'll be paying just $786 a month. If you have a $100,000 loan, you pay only $393 a month. So get yourself 2.45% financing from the Financial Group. Call them today. They'll explain to you how it works. There's no obligation at all. Call 1-800-940-LEND. That's Financial Group. It's toll-free, 1-800-940-LEND. They're an equal housing lender. Credit restrictions apply, and rates are subject to change monthly. 5.34 APR.
My and local. This is Sports Radio 560. QAM.
I am not a Nazi.
Much better. Most administrations to be respected.
To be respected.
Very good. You may
Ooh.
1218 at 560 WQM. I'm looking on the Herald website and on the Sun Sentinel website. All I see is more updates, efforts to oust radio host Phil, and there's Mr. Ego squinting with his 48 phony body parts. I don't see anything anymore about the Broward County Commission, about the Patriot Act. See, the reason that either paper wants to put that article in there is because, which I have it in my hand right now from yesterday, it lists the objection, or at least some of the objectionable parts about the Patriot Act and the reason that Broward Commission drafted that resolution along with 100 other municipalities around the country. But that isn't that important enough a story to be in your local newspapers. Because if they put the story in, then, of course, they'd have to publish some of the things about the Patriot Act that they probably would just as soon you not know. Probably be bad for business. It's beyond scary. This makes Joe McCarthy look like child's play, makes him look like a kindergarten kid when it comes to censorship and repression and goose-stepping. It's back, baby. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon line. What movie had the best or most shocking ending of all time, we're asking? We got about, how many we got on there, about 400?
At least.
Sixth Sense, 90. Usually, man, that's way out in front of everybody. Bruce Willis was in it?
Yeah.
Oh. Usual Suspects, 49. Planet of the Apes, 38. Shawshank Redemption, 28. Chinatown, 17. American Beauty, 16. Fight Club, 15. The Last American Virgin and No Way Out each have 14. Arlington Road, 12. Primal Fear, 10. Jacob's Ladder, 9. Happiness, 8. Deliverance, 8. Carrie, 7. The Hitcher, 7. Boy and His Dog, 7. Oh, I got you by one. 7's got 6. And 6 has got 7. Well, what am I talking about? 7's got 6. That's right. The movie 7's got 6 votes. 7's got 6. Citizen Kane's got 6. Easy Rider, The Others, Witness for the Prosecution, Angel Heart, Day of the Locust, each have 6. World According to Garp, 5. To Live and Die in L.A., 4. The Game, The Italian Job, they each have 3. The original Dutch version of The Vanishing and Donnie Darko and Deer Hunter and Eraserhead each have 2. Magnolia's got 1. Not too impressive. 1 for Plunkett and McLean. Pie's got 1. Reincarnation of Peter Proud. Soylent Green and Dr. Strangelove each have 1. And no votes yet. No votes yet for Frailty, or is it Frailty?
Right.
Identity, Lifeguard, Jacob's Ladder, and American History X. But there you go. That's the list we got so far.
Not a lot of people saw Frailty, but it was actually pretty good, and the end was a surprise.
How come we don't have Dr. Strangelove tomorrow or Scottsboro Boys on there yet, Beaner Boy?
I'm sure it'll be on there any second.
I don't want to get pushy, but I don't want some of these people taking the trouble to call us and, you know, give their opinions, and then we just shine them, you know, just ignore them like they're small potatoes. Our audience is all big potatoes. I've seen a lot of them, too, believe me. Boy, sunny skies, finally. It's sunny today. It's a beautiful day in T.O. Only a 20% chance of showers. Everybody come on up and bring lots of cash. Although I hate to break the news to you, your American dollar, man, ain't doing too great. It's dropping like a rock. Dropping like a penny from the Sears Tower. Current temperature 15, sunny and 59 degrees in Toronto right now. It's beautiful. It's going to be like 64, 65. What more could you want, right? Let's take a look at that CNBC before we take any more calls. I just want to take a peek. The euro is $1.14. Last time I was in Amsterdam, it was like about even Steven. And last summer, it was 92 cent the euro. Now it's worth $1.14. Just to give you an idea, the Dow is down 75 points. The Nasdaq's down 15 points, under 1,500 again. Unemployment is through the roof. But other than that, everything's looking great, baby.
Uh-oh.
Everything's wonderful. All you rich right ringers out there, man, you got it. You got just squeeze it. Keep squeezing it. Here's a lady in Miami. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
Great. How you doing?
Good. I was just calling about the Hot Couple Contest.
Okay.
I wanted you guys to be looking out for us. Our name is Amy and Aaron Quattrell. And I was going to tell George, is he there?
Yeah, he's there.
That you're really going to like me. I'm a Playboy cover model. My husband's a model.
Really?
We love your show. Yes.
All right.
Yes. We love the lead.
I like you already.
She didn't ask you, Beamer Boy.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said my husband's also from Toronto.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
We love the Leafs.
I think you may have a leg up, so to speak. We don't want to discriminate here because the audience will vote. But
I'd
it's
like
not,
to see her with a leg
yeah,
up.
Yeah, when are these pictures coming? Don't be a tease. When are the pictures
well,
coming?
Well, I can actually email you like some instantly if you'd like to see them now.
Yeah.
What's your email address?
Contest@neilrogers.com.
Contest@neilrogers.com.
N-E-I-L-R-O-G-E-R-S.
I think I have it.
Okay, we'll look forward to seeing him.
Cool, so look for us.
We're looking. Thanks.
Bye.
Are they there yet?
And I just calm down. Put it back in your pants. Try to calm down. Okay. In fact, he just started humping Beaner Boy. He's getting so excited. I mean, boy, Duff's going to get jealous, you know. You better watch it.
Well, that was a cure for that mood.
You're right. That was better than saltpeter. 5670560 #560 on it. Now, see, the other people who entered the contest, and let me say it again, regardless of your hyperventilating or mine or anybody else's,
right,
this is the way it's supposed to work, and it will. It'll be up on a website starting a week from today, next Thursday the 15th, and then you guys vote on who you think is the hottest couple, and then they win the prize.
The audience decides. We just get one vote each.
Well, now, that is true. We get a vote, but our vote is no more significant than the other 80 trillion people we have out there. So they obviously would like to go to the Bahamas, it sounds like to me. I'm surprised we don't have, like, hundreds of entries, to be honest
right.
with you. I mean, well, we got a lot of very shy people out there.
Oh, come on.
And we also have many ugly people out there, but it sure hasn't stopped some of them.
No.
Here's Port St. Lucie. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got two movies, and I'm actually surprised you just named off all the list of movies that they weren't on there. One is Body Heat with Kathleen Turner.
Right.
Good movie. And, I don't know what was surprising about
it. Yeah, that was a pretty surprise. I mean, she basically took over the identity of her sister, which she had killed at the end.
Okay.
And the other movie that I think is the best ending I've ever seen is Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour.
Never heard of it.
I saw it 100 years ago. I don't even remember it.
Somewhere in Time actually has got such a cult following.
Yes.
There's a group of people that have a club, and they meet once a year over it. But
really?
If you've ever seen it, I don't even want to tell you the ending. But
God,
basically about Christopher Reeve from Superman, of course, one of his only roles that he got that wasn't like a comedy-type situation. And he basically runs into this old lady at a playwright, and she gives him this coin, and then he finds out that she's dead, and he ends up going back in time to find her, and it's a really strange situation on how he does it. It's not like a time machine type thing.
Did you? You know, for a second there, I kind of did.